Journal. I am Brianna Marlowe. Happy Monday, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. We're excited that you are all joining us here today because we normally always tell you we've got a jam-packed program for you, but I mean it for you. This is going to be a packed out Monday, and so we're excited that you are all on board. We're going to be joined by Congressman Hamadeh in just a few moments. He was added to the terror watch list that we've been talking about for quite some time on this program. It's the TSA terror watch list. Well, they tried to sneak him onto the list, the Biden regime I'm referring to, and he decided to challenge the elections in Arizona. And so he's going to be joining us in just a few moments to break all of that down. Plus, we're also going to have a lineup of incredible guests. Obviously, it was a crazy weekend again in both Portland and Chicago, and a lot took place there. These violent left-wing terrorists aren't backing down anytime soon, but neither is the Trump administration, so I'll bring you the latest on just that. Plus, Nick Sorter was assaulted again last night. Antifa now trying to block off sidewalks. Portland police doing nothing to stop them from taking over, which is crazy because obviously sidewalks, folks, is a public street. And when Nick decided to walk through that public street, well, Antifa wasn't having it and they assaulted him, especially because he's carrying American flag and these communists hate the American flag. So as you see here, Nick was assaulted last night again and again. And again, Nick had his show yesterday on InfoWars, and he detailed that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, actually texted him after he was arrested in Portland. And he's also expected to have his first hearing today in court. So we'll bring you the latest on that, plus much, much more. But again, these terrorists, these left-wing terrorists, not stopping anytime soon. They're even taking over Chicago and attacking federal agents, as if it couldn't get any worse. Again, non-stop. This is what's going on right now throughout the country. These people cannot stop doing what they do. They don't care. They have zero respect for law enforcement, zero respect for federal officials. And so when the courts step in, and there was another judge, strangely enough, a Trump-appointed judge who said that President Trump doesn't have the authority to send in 200 National Guardsmen. Well, President Trump, you know, told the judge, you don't have the authority to tell me what to do. I'm the president of the United States. Decided to send in now 300 from the state of California. So again, President Trump not backing down from this. These violent individuals will be met with the full force of the federal government. Normally, again, we don't support that. We don't want the federal government doing anything. We don't want them stepping in. But again, you have to sit here and look at what's going on in Chicago, look what's going on in Portland, and realize that local officials there are intentionally setting up these cities for failure. Are you going to let the communists take over, or are you going to do something about it? Well, obviously, the federal government has really no other option if they want to protect their federal institutions, their buildings. And so now they have to send guardsmen in to go protect those buildings. And the arrests, they've been pretty entertaining, we'll say. Pretty entertaining. We're talking about violent individuals here. We're not talking about people who are peacefully protesting, right? Because if they were peacefully protesting, they'd be there during the daytime and they wouldn't be wearing masks. But again, they do wear masks and they wait until the nighttime to go about their protests, they call them. And those who are on the ground say that a lot of these individuals are drinking, doing drugs. They're not sober. So it's really not a surprise that this is all going on right now in Portland. And there's very little, very few who are willing to push back locally. So yes, you do need the federal government to step in. And I don't normally want the federal government to step in, but how much of this are you willing to take? We sat here during the BLM riots and watched them as they tried their very best to set courthouses on fire, federal courthouses. Now they're going around and assaulting journalists for just simply covering what they're doing. If you were really about to have a peaceful protest, you'd probably want the media to cover it because you'd want to spread your message. Except, again, these aren't protesters, nor are they peaceful. And they don't want the media covering it because they don't want you to see how violent they actually are. See, the mainstream media is the one running the coverage for all of them and not so much the independent media. So we've got a lot happening today on today's show. We're excited about, I'm also going to be joined by John Mattingly. He is the officer who was shot during the Breonna Taylor shooting. One of his former colleagues is being forced to turn himself in, and he's going to spend over 3 years in federal prison. So why hasn't the Trump administration stepped in? I've got a ton of news for you on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope you had a great weekend. It was a productive one for me. Didn't get it to the farmer's market like I promised you guys on Friday, but I did my very best to try to support local businesses. I hope you all did as well, but a lot happening over the weekend. The violence doesn't seem to be turning down anytime soon, and that's because, obviously, if you're a left-wing terrorist, you now have deemed that the streets belong to you. And so when you're in Portland or if you're in Chicago, you're going to go after law enforcement officers. And if you're in Portland, you're going to go after the independent journalists who are on the street. And sadly, that's a reality that Nick Sorter has learned not just once, but twice. The independent journalist, as many of you guys know, who has a show on this network, he was just simply walking through the streets of Portland last night when Antifa decided that he can't walk on public streets. Nick Sorter was assaulted again last night. Not surprising, because they continue to do this over and over again to Nick. Now, Nick obviously carrying the American flag, which if you're a communist, you don't really like. You don't really like. And so you'd go after Nick because, again, this they deem as a threat. Someone walking down the streets, carrying the American flag, being patriotic. Enemy. And again, these people continue to go out there and attack journalists. The federal government says that they're crunching down on all of this and they're sending in more and more of their National Guardsmen. But just take a look in clip one specifically as to what these federal officers have to deal with and even local officials when they're going face to face with these left-wing terrorists. Take a look.
Get out of your shit! Get out of our state!
I mean, how much of this are you going to be willing to endure if you're a federal officer at this point? Not much. Not much. When you have these disgusting human beings spitting on you, you're going to respond. And President Trump has made it very, very clear that he stands with these federal officers if these so-called protesters strike them first or assault them like you saw in that video. They better respond with the same amount plus a little bit more force, because at the end of the day, they have to defend themselves. You see, when you just sit there and you pretend like they have a right to protest and you allow them to do whatever they want, they just continue to get more and more violent, more and more emboldened. And that's what's going on right now in Portland. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. Again, but President Trump isn't on their side. They know this, and that's why they're starting to ramp up. We talked about Nick Sorter again and again. Nick Sorter was assaulted by these Antifa terrorists. And Nick's not afraid. He's not backing down. As you saw, he's still back out there. He even has court today. But he's not backing down anytime soon. He actually, on his show yesterday, on this program, actually announced that President Donald Trump texted him yesterday. And he described what specifically he sent him in clip two. Take a listen.
So I got a text message from President Trump, actually. Yesterday, or the day that I was that I got out of jail, after I was on Laura Ingraham's show, he apparently really liked the segment. He said, "Nick, I saw you on television. Great job. We're behind you 100%. Let us know if there's anything we can do, President DJT." And yeah, I said, "Surge the troops." That's That's what we need out here. That's one of the many things that we need out here. But I mean, we also need the elections fixed out here to stop this crap from happening. But
yeah. Yeah, well, that's one way to go about this. Now, President Trump is sounding off because he's not very happy. This morning he was talking about how a judge who he appointed actually, just shot down his efforts to send the National Guard into Portland. Apparently the judge thinks that it's overreach when the president of the United States decided to send in 200 National Guardsmen when you see violent protests. The judge saying it was unethical, unconstitutional. But Mike Davis, my good friend Mike Davis, tweeted out exactly what's going on here, saying that, number one, the judge in this case really, although he's Trump, and it's very interesting because Trump actually was like, I don't know this guy was this bad, like with the judge who he appointed. And the New York Post is saying that Trump defies the federal court, sends in 300 California National Guardsmen into Portland. But Mike Davis saying, no, he didn't defy any court order. The Portland federal judge unlawfully ordered and applied to Oregon, not California National Guardsmen. So obviously President Trump not backing down just because a federal judge steps in and says, oh, no, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let you protect federal courthouses. They claim that's overreach. But again, local officials intentionally not protecting those buildings. President Trump has every right to go out there and to make sure that both federal officers and their buildings are safe and secure. And if they need backup, then they need backup. We see time and time again, these ICE facilities are being attacked. And we'll talk about it later in the show, but the city of Chicago is not doing anything. They're not doing anything. In fact, they allowed federal agents to pretty much be ambushed over the weekend, with Lyman joining us later in the show. He's front and center of all the violence in Chicago. He'll be detailing what happened on the ground this weekend. But again and again, Democrats refuse to tone down their rhetoric and try to hold their own violent terrorists accountable. I was actually watching CNN. It was a clip. I don't watch it live. I try my best not to. And, of course, it was the usual conservatives that they have on, plus a bunch of liberal morons. And in the dialogue, which was very important, they were denying that BLM terrorists were not held accountable. In fact, they said that there were so many arrested. And I went city to city and said, no. They were arrested, but charges were dropped. And then they were all given multi-million dollar settlements. I mean, in New York, it was like, I think north of $15 million is what they had to pay out in New York City. And down the list it went. Seattle also paid out as well. So again and again, because there's money on the line, a lot of these people are also being paid, but they get paid through taxpayers. Because officers, oh, you were a little mean when you slapped the cuffs on me. Now you owe me $15 million. Me and my friends. My comrades. No. It needs to end now. We need to stop paying these people to be violent and be destructive of our cities. You see, these federal judges, again and again, are just continuing to step in and just violate the federal government's authority to protect its own buildings, protect its own agents. In clip three, President Trump says, you know, Portland's obviously burning to the ground, but what have their local officials really done to do anything about this? Take a listen.
Portland is burning to the ground. You have agitators, insurrectionists. All you have to do is look at the television, turn on your television, read your newspapers. It's burning to the ground. The governor, the mayor, the politicians are petrified for their lives. And you have a judge like that, he ought to be ashamed of them.
And again, that judge is a Trump-appointed judge who's saying that President Trump doesn't have the authority to send in National Guardsmen to protect federal buildings. Isn't that absurd? Isn't that absurd? Well, thankfully, President Trump, again, isn't backing down from that, and he is continuing to push back. That's exciting news. We're going to keep diving into that because we've got several people joining the show later today, whether they're in Chicago, whether they're in Portland. They're going to be telling us what's actually happening on the ground, something you won't see in the mainstream media. But I want to switch up gears a little bit because last week we spoke about it a lot. I've been talking about it for years now. The Quiet Skies List. Many of you guys know I talk about it all the time. It's a TSA terror watch list. You know, I was the first reporter along with Wendy Mahoney. We uncovered through whistleblowers, thankfully, Tulsi Gabbard was actually added to that TSA terror watch list. Now, many in the mainstream media ignored it, and they've been ignoring it for years now. When we've been talking about it, I've been going over all the innocent Americans, the veterans that were added to that terror watch list. But now, thankfully, Senator Rand Paul is starting to go through all of this, and he's made some massive, massive discoveries in all of this. He actually uncovered, and I'm going to let him describe it to you because it's really insane. He actually uncovered that there were three GOP congressmen who were also added to that list. Take a listen.
You know, our investigation has revealed some truly terrifying aspects to this. They were investigating an air marshal's wife, said that she was at January 6th, entered the Capitol. Well, on January 6th, she was in Washington at the White House to celebrate the president's speech. She never came to the Capitol, but for 3 years, they harassed this poor woman. Everywhere she went, she was harassed and given extra shakedowns, extra pat-downs. And her husband was a senior flight marshal, air marshal. I mean, it's just crazy. They went after three congressmen. They also went after people who basically had the audacity to say that they didn't think there were health benefits to wearing masks on planes. And they went after these people and put them on no-fly lists, essentially equating them with terrorists. So this has got to stop. Fortunately, the Trump administration has put an end to the Quiet Skies program, but there are several ancillary programs that we want them to look at, and we want to make sure that they're looking for terrorists and not overly surveilling and intruding on American citizens.
Now, in case you're wondering, Sonia Labosco and David Londo have been the two individuals dealing with these whistleblowers and trying to, for at least a decade now, get rid of this list. It's cost American taxpayers about $200 million a year to run all of this. And if you're wondering how successful it was, well, they caught zero terrorists. Yes. Yeah. That's one of our gifts from Barack Obama. Joining me now is a congressman who found himself on that terror watch list. Please welcome to the show, Abe Hamadeh. He's from the great state of Arizona. And he's with us now because he just recently found out that he too was added to that list. And the timeline is quite strange. Congressman, I want to thank you for being here. We're excited to have you on the program. Unfortunately, though, the circumstances are truly unfair. You know, you found out recently that you were added to this list after Senator Rand Paul informed you of that. You were added to this list, though, after you decided to challenge the election results, I believe back in 2022. What was your reaction to finding this out from the senator?
Hey, good to be with you. You know, it wasn't surprising, I guess. I mean, we all knew that what Biden administration was doing was targeting and harassing so many Americans just for simply having the viewpoints that are against the norm for the Democrat Party. But the timing was interesting when, on the list, it had December of 2022. This was literally within days of me filing my election lawsuit challenging the results of the 2022 attorney general race, which I was a part of, that was decided by 280 votes out of 2.5 million. And at the same time, you had the media, the Democrats calling me a threat to democracy. Remember, 2022 was a really dark time. I mean, that was when the Biden administration was really aggressive and anybody who was questioning the results of elections. So I got a call from Senator Rand Paul's office last week. My team did it. They let us know that we were one of the three Republican congressmen being targeted. And I decided to come forward because if they targeted me, they're targeting thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of other Americans. I wanted to at least know that it's okay to come forward. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. Only in America can Tulsi Gabbard go from being a target of the deep state federal government now to being the director of national intelligence. And that's the testament to the United States of America that the good guys still have a shot. You know, the hour is getting late, but we still have a shot. So I'm glad to see Senator Rand Paul expose it and to have Secretary Kristi Noem and President Trump get rid of the Quiet Skies program, because as you mentioned, it was not effective and it cost billions of dollars, and it started under Barack Obama, yet we just discovered this, the secret watch list that they had going on. So I'm glad to see President Trump take the initiative and get rid of it.
So when I found out that Tulsi Gabbard was added to the list, whistleblowers came forward and they went to Sonia Labosco, and I spoke with Sonia and she kind of gave everything to me. She's one of the incredible individuals who represents a lot of these whistleblowers and helps them get a platform and to make sure that they're protected when they come forward. And, you know, they're presenting all of the evidence to us, and I'm looking at her profile that they set up and they're using her congressional photo, and it almost feels that it's not real until I reached out to her team to inform them that they were added to this list. And later I learned that she had some suspicions that she was added to this list, that she was dealing with extra security measures that she was going through. She felt like there was possibly some federal officials following her on these flights as well. We know that there were five flights that they did tail her on. Did you have any of those experiences where you kind of thought you may have been added to some type of list because they were putting you through additional security measures?
I did, but it didn't really register in my mind. You know, at the time I thought, okay, maybe this is just a precaution or a random, you know, how they always say, you know, you've been randomly selected. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't paying too much attention to it. And honestly, we had so much going on. But to have Tulsi Gabbard, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and myself, we both served our country in uniform. You know, she was a member of the United States Army as well as I was. And we both had top secret clearances. And yet we were added to this list. I mean, it's really despicable what was going on. And especially for Congress, for Tulsi Gabbard, who was a congresswoman at the time. And just for your awareness, the Senator Rand Paul's report, the three Republican, these are three current Republican members of Congress. At the time I was targeted, I was not a member of Congress, but I was engaged in a political activity. The other two, only one of them was a member of Congress at the time. But you look at, why was it only Republicans? I mean, my God, I'm sure that there is probably, you know, it just leads you to question why no Democrat that we know of was on that list. So, you know, although it started under Obama and it continued on forward, you wonder how it was weaponized under the Biden administration. And to see Tulsi Gabbard now being the DNI, I mean, that is the best justice to have, because to have somebody be a target now to running the intelligence agencies is really a testament to our country.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what's the crazy part in all of this is TSA, when I wanted to figure out how J6ers were added to this terror watch list, or anybody who flew into the D.C. region around January 6th, they were added to this. There was, I think they've confirmed so far, a little over 200 individuals added, but we believe it's a little bit higher than that. These were veterans, just like you, and it was quite strange. So I wanted to find out how they were added to this list. And when I did a Freedom Information Act request to TSA to try to gather this information, they ignored it. And so we had to sue them. And right now in court, TSA is saying that they can't hand over that communication and give us the names of people who were directing all of this because it's a national security issue. So they're still kind of, you know, turning a blind eye to all of this. And it's frustrating, but, you know, we're trying our very best to push back on this. But, you know, Congressman, you did what so many people did, and there were like kind of these repercussions that kind of fell about it. When you challenge an election in this country, you do have a legal right to do this. You're an attorney, you would understand that, obviously, but you do have the legal right to challenge these elections. But then there's this retaliation that follows up right after. We saw with Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, when they represented the president in his election challenge, they went after their law license. They tried to get them disbarred, and they've been successful so far. But you obviously had every right to challenge your election, and they targeted you. Why do you think those on the left continue to do that?
Well, they hate the truth. So anybody willing to stand up for the truth and have a backbone is a threat to the system. You know, I had no idea, to be honest, when I first got involved in politics. You know, I got back from my deployment. The reason why I ran in the first place was because I no longer recognized my country. And if you look at the years coming since, it's only been proven true. I mean, you had the mask mandates, you had the vaccine mandates. You look at what's going on, you know, you're called an election denier. They target you. They go after your bank accounts. They try to suppress you on social media. You have the FBI going after parents who are speaking out at school board meetings. I mean, it was dark times, and I don't ever want us to forget, you know, what kind of psychosis it seemed like we were all in. Because if you look at our friends over in Europe, look at the United Kingdom. I mean, my God, you've got the government there arresting citizens for social media posts, for memes. And that is exactly the road we were going down if President Trump had not won last November. And yes, we are exposing all of this right now, but you know, the biggest fear isn't someone like a Joe Biden. The biggest fear to me is the deep state, who are nameless, who are faceless, and who can be more oppressive because you have no accountability to those. And that's why I'm coming forward. And, you know, some of the justification that they're going to try to use, you know, to try to justify some of these surveillance programs, I mean, you know, a lot of it's not going to be in communication. A lot of it's going to be directives from the White House that they were told to target certain individuals. You know, they're pretty smart people, but I'm glad to see. I mean, look how long it took us to expose it and to see Senator Rand Paul expose it like that. It took a long time because he's been on top. top of it, as you have been as well. And this is just the first bite, and hopefully we're going to continue to expose what the deep state was doing, because it's unacceptable how they were treating American citizens, especially during the COVID times, especially after January 6th. And it's not why I served my country in uniform. And luckily, we're quickly going back to that under leadership of President Trump.
Yeah. And before you go, Congressman, I wanted to ask you, since you mentioned obviously being a serviceman serving this country proudly, we're watching as things are getting very violent in Portland as well as Chicago, and federal agents are actively being attacked. You know, we just saw a federal judge, even a Trump-appointed judge, try to slap down the president from defending those federal agents by sending more federal officials there, National Guardsmen as well. From California, I believe he just decided to send another 300 in because they're refusing to send those from the state in. I mean, we're watching all these judges overstep and say that the president of the United States doesn't have a authority to defend federal buildings. What are your thoughts on all of this? Because we're seeing the violence on the left become increasingly worse, and we're seeing judges side with them rather than the American people.
Oh, the judges are the biggest problem in our country. And I speak out against it all the time. But if you look at what is going on, I mean, President Trump sending the National Guard to protect federal buildings, that is exactly what he should be doing. Unfortunately, the judges right now, they're giving cover for the militant left. They don't understand how dangerous, the militant left is becoming. I mean, my God. You know, in Arizona, a friend of Charlie Kirk was just assassinated. It's only going to continue to get worse unless we take a heavy hand approach right now. With President Trump, you know, defending these buildings is so critical. And if you look at how these judges are manipulating and twisting the law to fit their rulings and to try to fit their narrative, it is shocking. And that's why, you know, when you mentioned how John Eastman was getting attacked. I mean, the legal profession, judges are not immune from psychosis. And I think that's what happened, especially these judges. You know, they want to fit in, high society, especially in a city like Portland. So they kind of feel like they have to go against President Trump, which is unfortunate because, as you mentioned, I mean, some of these were appointed by him. But as we know, that this isn't just a right versus left battle. It's so much deeper than that. But President Trump has the authority, just like he had the authority to protect and secure our southern border, which he did so quickly. I mean, I'm from Arizona, and it's amazing how little I talk about our border anymore because it is secure now. President Trump knows what he's doing, but these judges, sadly, constantly get in the way. But, you know, they continue to delegitimize themselves. That's kind of scary because, once they start to delegitimize themselves, you're not going to have society function properly. But they're doing it to themselves. You know, whenever they think that we're attacking the judiciary, they have to understand that they are the ones who are making fools of themselves. And President Trump, he has the backing of the American people. Look at Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. It's one of the it's the safest times to ever be here right now. And I encourage everybody to come visit because the mood has shifted. And that's what President Trump wants to do. He wants to show that it is possible to have safety and security to protect Americans when these liberal, socialist, militant, left-wing mayors are incapable of doing that and they're targeting the police. So hopefully these judges get their act together.
Yeah, we hope so. We hope so. Congressman, I want to thank you for coming forward and telling us all about the Quiet Skies list. We need all of the attention you could get because, again, we need answers here. So thank you for being brave enough to do just that. We appreciate all that you're doing in D.C. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Congressman Hamadeh, thank you very much for joining the program today. All right, folks, I wanted to remind you all that we have a very limited time sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. It's the Last Stand Super Sale. It is 20% off site-wide, plus buy one, get one free on any supplements while supplies last. Again, we don't know how much longer this sale is going to be lasting, so head on over there right now. Make sure you grab all your gear over at the alexjonesstore.com. We have more underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
RFK Jr. told me about it.
That man is fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones. Store.com.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You guys are all here. It was great having the congressman on the program today to kind of go through the federal government, its overstep, and its surveillance under the Biden regime. But there was a lot of things that happened that we still haven't settled the score on. The abuse, the lawfare, it needs to be settled. We need to be honest with ourselves. The Biden regime had no problem with trying to lock up its political opposition. And that included members of law enforcement. And they got very creative, I guess I could say, when it came to coming after these members of law enforcement. I'm talking specifically about those involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend opened fire on police when they responded, when they were trying to serve a warrant, I should say. And local news outlets and the mainstream media said, oh, no, they had a no-knock warrant, so they just barged right in. And that's when Breonna Taylor's boyfriend opened fire. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. And if you actually read through the details, you realized that they did announce that they were outside. Louisville police did announce that they were outside when they were looking to serve that warrant on her home. But of course. They don't want to tell you that because they don't want the truth coming out. Don't mess up their narrative. And one of the other things that they wanted to leave out, of course, was the fact that Breonna Taylor's boyfriend opened fire on police first. And unfortunately for Sergeant John Mattingly, he was the one who did end up getting shot that day. But even more unfortunate, you know, now that we know that Mattingly is okay and has fully recovered from all of this, is the fact that the Trump administration has not yet pardoned former police officer Brett Hankinson. Now, ultimately, he is now looking to turn himself in later this week, and he is expected to serve a 33-month prison sentence. Now, we're advocating for a pardon because, folks, he shouldn't be going to prison. In fact, the DOJ knows this. The DOJ, when they did the changeover from the Biden to the Trump administration, asked the judge for no prison time, but the judge still sentenced him to 33 months in prison. Joining me to discuss is the officer that was shot that day. Please welcome to the show, Sergeant John Mattingly. He's the author of the book, 12 Seconds in the Dark, and he's been very outspoken for Hankinson and making sure that he doesn't go to prison. And we're thankful to have him on the program today so he could bring more attention to this. John, I want to thank you for being here. Obviously, this is something that you and I have been trying to blow the whistle on for quite some time now. We're trying to get everyone's attention because an officer being sent to prison, a federal prison, after being accused of violating the rights of Breonna Taylor could be really dangerous for Hankinson. So I want you to kind of walk us through the details in case our audience isn't familiar that day. They didn't charge Hankinson. It's not like he shot Breonna Taylor. They just charged him because he opened fire after seeing you get shot by Breonna Taylor's boyfriend. So walk us through those details.
Yeah, so Brett was actually the third one in the stack coming in. And once I was shot at the door and gunfire was just erupting underneath this small, loud area, Brett was doing whatever he could to get the threat to stop shooting. So he moved around the side of the apartment. He shot through some windows, and the guy actually hid because of that. And so he potentially saved our lives. And granted, he's the first police officer in American history that's ever been charged and convicted, charged period, but even more so set the precedent for being convicted for being fired upon by a perpetrator, returning fire and not hitting anyone. He hurt no one. He busted some drywall and some glass, yet somehow from the beginning, he's been the scapegoat.
Yeah, and I want to keep reminding everyone, you guys didn't open fire first. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend did. No. And to make matters even worse,
right.
They were well aware. They were well aware that you guys were outside because you guys had announced, I've seen the statements. I know that there were witnesses who also said the same exact thing, that they heard police announcing that they were outside the door. The no-knock warrant thing is usually something that's used by the media to try to add more fire to all of this, to kind of ignite both sides, well, to ignite one side, thinking that you guys just barged your way in. But that's not how it played out. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it was not a no-knock warrant. It was issued as one, but we were told at the briefing not to serve it as one. The other lies that the Ben Crumps, Kamala Harris, LeBron James, all those guys spread were that we had the wrong apartment, and everybody believed that, that she was asleep in bed, that no drugs or money were found in the apartment. So many lies that just took fire that our department, our city, for whatever reason, I mean, we know why, the political stance in 2020, and with our liberal, progressive mayor that we had and governor that we still have, just totally threw us to the wolves, and they wanted to separate themselves from it. Even though, you know, Brett from the beginning was a target for whatever reason. He was the scapegoat that was designated from the go. Even in his files, it began internally. There were files released that should have been suppressed, on allegations from 10 years prior to this that were unfounded. And by our policy and by our contract, that stuff's supposed to be out of your file within 3 years, and someone internally leaked a complaint from 10 years prior that had been exonerated. It had been found untrue. And so it began there. Then it went straight to our mayor, who from day one was saying, you know, we need justice for Breonna Taylor. And it come to find out that the entire reason this unit was started, the entire reason we were even there that night, was something that the mayor set off because he was gentrifying this area. And the city had gained every single house on this block except these three on Elliott. And a designee from the mayor's office, one of the deputy mayors, every week came and got an update on this case, the lieutenant colonels, which was totally unheard of. I'd never seen that in 20 years of policing, 14 years of those in narcotics and undercover work. And every week they're getting an update. And it come to find out because they needed these properties so they could get this project started. Because those that are held, that were accountable for this have never been held accountable. Brett's just the scapegoat. And these guys were padding their pockets. They were getting family members and friends to big donors in the city for the Democrats that were paying the mayor well. He was giving them the contracts on the gentrification areas. And this was just a part of that that Brett got sucked into unwillingly. And we were just the scapegoats in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what we see often. And we knew during 2020 on how they were looking for any type of case where they could try to stir up racial tensions throughout this country. And that's what they found within the Breonna Taylor shooting. And it's very unfortunate, but they buried a lot of these key facts. You know, I want to talk to you because I know you met with Ed Martin, the pardon attorney for President Trump. I know you probably can't disclose much, but what's your takeaway from all of this? Because I know the DOJ obviously didn't want Brett to go and serve any prison time. They thought just losing his job was more than enough and more than efficient. So is there anything that you hear happening within the federal government right now to make sure that Brett doesn't go into prison?
Well, I know the government's slow moving. You know, regardless who's in charge, everything just moves at a snail's pace. And I'm praying this has been brought before President Trump. I'm not sure. I know his MO in the past has been waiting till people go to prison before he issues a pardon. And I hate that Brett's serving any time period. Because I know the prison he's going to, his pardon attorney who's working on his behalf or his, the guy who's doing they're appealing the case, his appeal attorney. So one of his prior clients who's a police officer went to the same location that Brett's going and he had a tough time in prison. And this judge on the case, man, it's unreal. She will not issue her release on whether she's going to let him stay on bond. While he's appealing, she's waiting till the last minute, probably because she's going to say, reject it. And it will not give him a time to go to the Sixth Circuit of Appeals to try to get a stay on this case. So it's still political. There's still a lot of pressure from those inside the city. A lot of the community leaders are pressing against this judge. So I think she's going to cave to that. And that's a sad thing because, you know, she's a Trump appointee. I know her husband's a large donor to Mitch McConnell, which doesn't surprise me because we know Mitch isn't on our side. Yeah. But that's where we stand right now, and it's sad.
Yeah, and we can't risk sending Brett to federal prison. I mean, the case itself was high profile,
right.
And we know how they treat law enforcement in prison, and so this is something that the Trump administration needs to step in on immediately, and we are going to continue to reach out for comment on that front. But before you go, John, I want to get your take on what happened this weekend in Chicago because we're hearing that Chicago police told their officers not to help out federal agents. And you know far too well when they use police officers for political reasons, the ramifications for all of that, obviously. But what's your reaction to learning that Chicago PD, those locally, weren't really trying to intervene and help these federal agents as they were? I mean, it's not an actual ambush, although one of them was armed and has been arrested. But it got very, very dangerous in Chicago this weekend. What's your reaction to them just not helping out their fellow agents?
Well, unfortunately, it didn't surprise me coming from Chicago, not the officers, because I just spoke with a couple of their officers last week, and they've been threatened with their jobs. And there's no way that, you know, these people are like, they're stuck in a rock and a hard place, just like they were in 2020 when all these riots were taking place and they were told to stand down, allow people to get in their face, assault them, and they weren't allowed to do anything in return, or they would be the ones prosecuted. And we know how Pritzker is. We know how their mayor is. We know how anti-law enforcement they are, even though they get on stage and, you know, they try to blame the Republicans for not backing law enforcement when obviously they're the ones that don't. But I would hope these guys would stand up enough and their union would back them enough that they would say, no, we've got to do the right thing and help those that are just enforcing the law because that's our job. And when they fail to do that, that just puts a bad taste in the rest of the citizens' mouth that do support the police, which is, in my opinion, the majority. We just simply, you know, we grease the squeaky wheel and they are the loud ones. They are the ones that come out and promote violence, even though they blame the right for doing that. So I think it's a travesty and I hope that they man up and do the right thing.
Yeah. We hope so as well. We don't want to see this become fatal. And I think we're getting very close to that, especially because they just assaulted Nick Sorter in Portland for a second time. So these people are very, very emboldened. Yeah. It's just disgusting at this point. We know President Trump, I mean, he reached out to Nick. He texted him. We know that DOJ did as well. But we can't sit here and continue to allow this to happen. I mean, all he's doing is walking down the street with an American flag. And because these are communists that we're dealing with here, they don't really like that. And so they continue to attack him. But, John, I want to thank you for joining the program today. I know you're a very busy person. And so we appreciate your time.
Well, thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Brianna. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, folks, on Friday, I want to make sure you didn't miss this story because this was a big one. This was a big one. We've covered it on this program when President Trump was making his way to the UN. Secret Service somehow was able to uncover a massive, it was like a SIM card, couple of these little areas where there's a bunch of SIM cards, electronic devices, and obviously very strange. According to officials, it was powerful enough to take out the 911 calling system in New York City. So that's obviously something that's going to have everyone on high alert, given the fact that world officials are all at the UN during this time. Well, The Blaze has just recently dropped an exclusive. And again, this was dropped on Friday, but we can't look the other way on this. You have to actually pay attention because they're saying that this was due to China, that China actually set up this massive nationwide SIM card, obviously, farm network. Now, obviously, it is a direct threat to our infrastructure. And officials that spoke with Steve Baker and Joe Hedman also said that this is an act of war. Now, obviously, given the fact that the UN was going on and they were holding their summits, and so many world leaders were on stage during all of this, this is deeply, deeply concerning. And apparently, according to The Blaze, this has been going on for quite some time. Sources at the Department of Homeland Security and U.S. intelligence community said that the SIM card networks were operating in the United States as early as 2004. Again, this was uncovered in New York City. Also put in perspective here, this is the same city where they were allowing the CCP to actually open up a police station. The FBI pretended like when they finally made an arrest and they finally shut it down that, oh, we just discovered this, that the CCP was operating a police station in New York City. But it was long known. I mean, public information, everyone knew that they were doing just that. They were actually intimidating Chinese citizens who had fled, obviously, the communist country. And they were harassing them here in the United States. And so, again, here we see that they have built this, allegedly have built this SIM card in area where they could kind of surveil. Yeah, it's deeply concerning. Obviously, this should be looked into. The SIM card networks were put in place and managed by the Chinese Ministry of State Security. Again, deeply concerning. Now, the government knows more. They're not going to release all the information, obviously, or tell The Blaze all the information. But for those who still think that we're not at war with China, you're delusional. China knows that we're at war. They're just more strategic than we are. And the fact that there's SIM card networks, SIM network is what they call it, is deeply concerning. Again, they could have taken out the 911 system. No U.S. intelligence or law enforcement agency detected the secret network, nor did the three major wireless carriers, including AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. So this is really, really serious. I mean, really, really serious. So again, we'll continue to follow this as it unravels. I assumed, you know, I took the easier way through all of this. I figure if you're going to build something like this right outside the UN to take out the 911 system, the easiest answer was to go with the president of Syria, considering the fact that he's an al-Qaeda leader and he was in the city. But apparently they're saying, no, it was China. So again, a lot more to uncover on that front. But let's change it up a little bit. Let's talk about also President Trump yesterday, who spoke because it was the Navy's 250th celebration. And he had quite the interesting remarks we're going to play for you in clip 5 while he was on stage in Virginia honoring those in the Navy. Take a listen.
The U.S. Navy always stands for America. As your commander-in-chief, I will always stand for you. I promise you that. You know that. That's why you voted for me in numbers that nobody's ever seen before. And I want you to know that despite the current Democrat-induced shutdown, we will get our service members every last penny. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. It's all coming. It's coming. And even more because I'm supporting the across-the-board pay raises for every sailor and service member of the United States Armed Forces. But we have to take care of this little gnat that's on our shoulder called the Democrats. They want to give all of our money to illegal aliens that pour into the country. And, you know, I have a bigger heart than they do. But the problem is when you do that, they come in by the millions. Everybody wants that, so you can't do it.
Yep, they do. They do. Folks, I want to bring you breaking news that we just actually got. Before I dive back into that subject matter, the Supreme Court has officially declined to take up Ghislaine Maxwell's appeal for her sex trafficking case. They're refusing to see it. It's in regards to her 2021 conviction. The high court revealed in an order released just moments ago that it would not hear her case, leaving it in place for denial for the U.S. Court of Appeals Second Circuit. Obviously, Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted on 5 counts of sex trafficking of minors and obviously conspiracy. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Again, the Supreme Court not taking that case up. They have since denied Ghislaine Maxwell. Maxwell was refusing originally to work with the DOJ until she heard back from SCOTUS. So this might mean that she's going to be more willing to work with the Trump administration. But again, she's looking for a pardon. She's looking to be freed. And so we don't know if that's on the table. We don't know if that's an option. We do believe that there's obviously been a lot of evidence that has been deleted. I believe that, I should say, not we. I believe that. So we'll see if the Trump administration reaches out and asks Ghislaine Maxwell for assistance. We know what that would cost, though. That would cost her freedom. She wants freedom back. And so we'll continue to follow it as it develops with the Supreme Court refusing to take up Maxwell's case. Now, let's dive back in to President Trump's celebration of the 250th Navy anniversary. Now, President Trump obviously giving an incredible speech, as he always does. It's always very funny. It's always very laughable. But we're going to play another clip for you, because in clip 6, this one gave me a good laugh, mainly because it's true. And it's so funny because, you know, we sit here, we talk about President Trump's diet all the time. He loves his Diet Cokes. He loves his McDonald's. And trust me, he's got good taste. He's got very good taste. But the experts say that he is in the best shape that they have ever seen. They're comparing him to both Barack Obama and George W. Bush. And he took the moment yesterday while he was speaking at the Navy to kind of talk about it and brag about it a bit. Take a listen.
A man that everybody loves. He was my doctor in the White House, and I got to know him very well. He was also the doctor for Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And he was a doctor for a man named Bush. And at a press conference, they asked him, who's in the best shape? Who's the healthiest? Who's the strongest? Who's the best physical specimen of the three? He said, that's easy. President Donald Trump. And I said, I love this guy. I said, I love him. Ronnie Jackson, he's now a congressman, as you know. So he was an admiral. He was a chief doctor. He was the old boss of doctors. And now he's a very, very successful congressman from Texas. Thank you, Ronnie, very much. And I appreciate those words. I'll never forget them.
He is in incredible shape. I mean, that man has aged backwards, and it's quite strange, I must say. But, you know, he's definitely sharper than the person who was allegedly occupying the White House previously. And he's probably in better shape for sure than Barack Obama. So, yeah. Yeah, you love to see him brag about that a bit. But it wasn't just President Trump who captured the laughs of those who attended the ceremony yesterday. Melania Trump, the first lady, the very beautiful first lady, was also there. And she, well, she captured their attention as well. Take a listen. Obviously, Melania Trump, understanding the crowd who she was speaking to. It is always incredible to hear from the First Lady. We don't hear from her enough. I think we need to hear from her more, because there's a lot to celebrate when it comes to her, her elegance, and her ability to speak to anyone, to any crowd, and how incredible she has been. Again, folks, I want to remind you that we have my book on sale over on Amazon. Head on over there. Take a look. It's Celebrating the First Lady, because we don't celebrate her enough. And that's the reason why we came up with this book. We see so many repulsive individuals who take all of these magazine covers. But the First Lady, no. She is elegant. She is stunning. She's actually very, very intelligent, doesn't get enough credit for it. And so that's the reason why we put together this book. Some of my favorite looks of Melania Trump. It's great for your wives, your mothers, anyone who needs an incredible gift. It makes a great addition to the coffee table as well. Head on over to Amazon. You could search my name, Brianna Morello, or just look up Melania Trump, elegance in the White House. All right, folks, more also happening around the world this weekend, and I just want to keep digging into it, because so much was going on, and I don't think everyone was paying attention especially this story. This story is really disturbing, but we talk about crime all the time in this country and how out of hand it's gotten. But again, these courts are the problems. The appeals courts are the problem sometimes, as well as the parole boards. And it's just, it's becoming overwhelming. There was a man who was speaking out because a 6-year-old son was brutally murdered. I mean, brutally murdered back in 2015 by a man in Kentucky. And now, according to reports, he's actually going to be released. The murderer is going to be released. He stabbed his 6-year-old child to death while he laid in bed 10 years ago. And now, because of good behavior, they're releasing him. In clip 8, you're going to hear from the father himself. Take a listen.
And I held him so deep in my arms. And finally, he took his last breath, looked at me, and closed his eyes, and he was gone.
Ronald Exantis traveled from Indianapolis to Versailles, walked into the Tiptons' home, and attacked the family in their sleep. Logan was killed, and his father and two sisters were injured.
He snaps, just snaps, and he picks, just stands up with me sitting on top of him, and he throws me across the room. 10, 15 feet, he throws me across the room and goes after her.
3 years later, in 2018, Exantis was found not guilty of murder by reason of insanity, but convicted of assaulting other family members. And just this month, October 1st, Exantis was released early from prison for good behavior.
It's infuriating that a 6-year-old was killed sleeping in his bed, and someone literally only did 10 years in prison, and he didn't even do the time for that. He did time for assault charges. It's just infuriating.
But the family says it isn't just anger they're living with. It's fear.
Me and my siblings and even my mom and dad, from here on out, we have the burden of making sure that he doesn't come back.
Again and again, we continue to cover these stories because nobody wants to talk about the reality that we have to deal with, and the fact that our courts have more empathy, and the parole boards as well, have more empathy for murderers than the actual victims. I mean, what did a 6-year-old child do to deserve being stabbed to death? The details of the case, too, I'll spare you of it, but it was an absolute brutal murder. And you just pretend like he can't be held accountable because he's not mentally well. Yeah, of course he's not mentally well. Anyone to carry out that type of egregious crime is not well. It is a heinous crime. It is worth more than 10 years in prison. He must pay with his life. This is our justice system. And then they don't want you to retaliate. They don't want you to go after these people. Good behavior. The guy murdered a 6-year-old child. And you only got him on assault? See, these are the problems that we need to be paying attention to. We need to be fixing these issues because they're becoming increasingly worse. Now we're going to be forced to deal with these violent criminals living on our streets. Now, how does the father of that 6-year-old boy react? Well, for one, you definitely can't sit there and allow your murderer to walk along these streets freely. He'll attack another innocent child. And then the courts will say, whoops, we'll get him this time. We'll get him this time. Now, obviously, as a father, you have to react. The parents have to react. They have to do something. And they're probably going to go harder at the parents if they do react to all of this rather than the actual suspect who murdered their child. But that's the new world we live in, folks. All right, we've got more to unpack in the next hour. Do not go anywhere. There's more American Journal heading your way.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me with, I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents, and so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest, though, because you, so you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
Good morning. Happy Monday, everyone. We're kicking off the second hour of the American Journal. And I'm excited that you're all joining me today. So welcome. We've got a lot to unpack in the second hour of the program. So many more stories to dive into. Plus, a lot of incredible people have been on the ground, both in Portland and Chicago, and so we'll be speaking to them momentarily. First up will be Whit Lyman in just a few moments. He was on the ground in the suburbs in Chicago, and there was a lot going on there because, of course, the communists don't like federal agents trying to get rid of the worst of the worst when it comes to illegal aliens. And so they went after federal agents, and we've got a lot of it on video, and thanks to Whit's great work over the weekend, we're going to dive into all of that, but DHS isn't backing down. These people are trying their very best to intimidate federal agents. But, you know, my sources say that they're just going to keep ramping up on the federal response when it comes to that, because they're not backing down. They're going to be in Chicago, and they're going to get rid of these illegal aliens who do not belong in our country in the first place. That's exactly what you and I both voted for, so we're very excited to hear about that, of course. But there's a lot going on there. There's also a lot going on all around the world. And I just wanted to get to this one because it just happened now. President Trump posting on Truth Social that congratulations to Japan for electing their first female prime minister. Again, it sounds like she is qualified for the position, according to the president, saying that she's a highly respected person. She brings both great wisdom and strength. And he looks forward to meeting with her possibly at one point. But again, he is excited about this, and he is issuing his congratulations to the new prime minister of Japan. And it's not just that. We just heard moments ago the Supreme Court refusing to take up Ghislaine Maxwell's case. Now, that is a big one, and we want to keep reminding you of that. The Supreme Court saying, no, we're not going to hear Ghislaine Maxwell's case. We're actually going to be tossing that. We're not going to listen to it. And so now Ghislaine Maxwell will not have her sentence appealed by the Supreme Court. She's looking to get that 2021 conviction, I should say, sex trafficking case appealed. She's looking to be free, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen for her anytime soon. Now, the DOJ obviously trying to get her to work with them. She might be more willing to do that now. She might be. Ghislaine Maxwell thought that the immunity that was provided during Jeffrey Epstein's conviction, when he pleaded guilty, I should say, to sex trafficking, to the minors' allegations, that immunity was for everyone in his posse. She thought it extended to her. The court saying it doesn't. The Supreme Court even refusing to hear her arguments on that. So it's interesting to hear how that's all unraveling. So again, if Ghislaine Maxwell wants out of her 20-year prison sentence, she's probably going to have to work with the Trump administration. And I don't know if they are actually looking into giving that pardon. I think the president's been asked about it, and he did not give a direct response on that front. But folks, I mean, it's easy to understand that there's been a lot of evidence deleted. And if you want someone to come forward to tell you who was actually doing what, you're probably going to need Maxwell to work with you. So it's very, very likely that we'll see something on that front very, very soon. I want accountability. I can speak personally about this. And, you know, we can talk about this later in the show when we take calls. But I do want accountability for those who were abusing those children. I mean, obviously, putting Ghislaine Maxwell in prison is definitely something that's important. But it needs to be very clear that those who did abuse those children, directly abuse those children, need to be also behind prison bars. You know, they've been able to get away with all of this, and they shouldn't be allowed to do just that. We need answers. We need answers. And, you know, Maxwell, I listened to the recordings when she met with the DOJ. She met with Todd Blanche, the deputy AG. And she said there's really no list, But she knows who was out there and was actually sexually abusing those children. She knows who they are. So we want answers. We want answers. All right, folks, we have a packed show for you today. We're kicking off the second hour in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. Whit Lyman is joining us, and he was on the ground in Chicago, I should say. Sorry, there's so much mess everywhere. But he was in Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago. So he'll join us in just a few moments to break all of that down. I want to remind you, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the last stand super sale for a limited time. It's 20% off site-wide, as well as buy one, get one free on supplements while supplies last. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. This sale's not lasting forever, so head on over and do that right now. There's more American Journal underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Well, 48 hours ago, our sponsor, Bigly, launched Alex Jones app. Go to alexjonesapp.com and go right to the Apple Store. It's number one in the world in news, surpassing X, and is racing into the top 100 of total apps in the world. Great job, everybody. This is a real shot across the bow for the censors. That is a big deal. I mean, we're ahead of Disney. We're ahead of Uber. We're ahead of everything. We're ahead of X. Number one in news in the world. Takes years to do that with an app. We've been number one before when they banned us, 2018. That took 5-6 years to get to that. Number one in 48 hours. Incredible job. Keep sharing the feed. You can't search it. They don't let you search the app, which every other app you can find. But you just go to alexjonesapp.com, and that takes you right to the subpage of the Apple Store. It's totally free. Right there, alexjonesapp.com.
Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the American Journal. I'm excited that you are all here. I add the before that. It's just American Journal, but I like the. I'm all in for the. Thank you for being here with us again, of course, folks. We've been trying to unpack so much going on in the world, the news, and there's a lot more happening this weekend. Tons of violence by the left-wing terrorists that they don't like the fact that ICE is doing their job. They're getting rid of some of the most violent criminals who illegally snuck into our country, as well as those who don't belong here. Now, again, we are a nation of laws, and we have to follow those laws. And you cannot sit here and allow people to come into your country and allow them to stay here when they are not supposed to be here in the first place. Now, ICE is looking to kind of go through and get rid of these people from our country. But for some reason, the communists on the left, well, they don't like this. And they spent this weekend in Chicago, specifically throughout the suburbs, going after federal agents. And the violence has been insane to watch. They're throwing rocks at the cars. There was even a video that I saw DHS post of one of these federal officers getting their car rammed. The harassment, the violence is not ending anytime soon. But sadly, Chicago police aren't helping these federal agents. In fact, according to Bill Mnuchin of Fox News, they were told to stand down and to not help their fellow members of law enforcement. Why? Well, because it's politics, and Chicago PD has been weaponized against the people. And now, for federal officials, you better just deal with it on your own. Bill Mnuchin obviously reporting just that, and that's big, big news. Now, again, I mentioned the violence that's been taking place from those on the left, and it's been never ending. In fact, there was an insane story over the weekend. We have the mugshots of the two people who have now been charged, but there's two people who are being accused of going after and ramming a federal agent with their vehicle. Now, interesting enough, folks, these two individuals, apparently the female was someone on the federal government's radar because she had been doxing, according to them, their agents. Now, when she saw them, she rammed their car, according to officials, and she was armed. Now, this did lead into a shootout, I believe, but she didn't open fire back. It looks like just agents were forced to defend themselves. But again, they did recover a semi-automatic weapon, according to officials. That's their quote, not mine. And it just goes to highlight again and again and again, people on the left are extremely violent. And of course, the governor over there is not really a fan of federal officials stepping in, and even though federal agents are getting their cars rammed by left-wing terrorists, well, they're just trying to pretend like there's no issue here. Look the other way. Joining me now to discuss is Wade Lyman. He is one of the incredible reporters over at Border Hawk News. He's their White House correspondent, but he was on the ground in Chicago over the weekend, and he was filming a lot of this violence that was going on. So, Wade, welcome to the show. I want to thank you for being here. I know that there was a lot going on the ground this week in Chicago, this weekend specifically. What did you witness?
Brianna, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you for having me. By the way, I like the American Journal, too. It's a good little catch there.
Thank you.
But yeah, so that story that you were, that story you were referencing, it's actually getting more confusing, too, because that was a story that deputy spokesperson for the DHS was talking about how 10 cars actually surrounded one Border Patrol vehicle and boxed them in, and then actually that agent fired into that vehicle that you're talking about. However, there was another incident on the same day of a Border Patrol car getting boxed in and rammed by a separate vehicle. So some of your audience may have seen that video going around. That's a different incident of agents being rammed on the same day. And then what happened was from the two instances, there were multiple protests that spun up. The population showed up to protest ICE and what they were doing because there were two different areas, two different crime scenes, so to speak. So there were a lot of different groups gathering in a small area that's in the southwest Chicago. That video you're playing there is Brighton Park. So there were multiple protests popping up because there were multiple incidences of Border Patrol vehicles getting rammed and attacked by, you know, citizens, population in the area. And the really bad one that actually popped off was in Brighton Park, where Border Patrol got boxed in on all ends. And Chicago PD was on scene trying to do some crowd control, but they were totally boxed in and they had to just blast their way out pretty much of the area. They were tossing tear gas canisters out the windows. They were flying out of that intersection. And as you can see, the population took ill will towards them, throwing rocks and bottles and traffic cones and causing basically just a full-on riot at that intersection.
Yeah, so how are they doing this? Because it's obviously like this isn't just people randomly on a Saturday afternoon just strolling through the park, seeing that this is going on and wanting to get involved. This seems very well orchestrated. We know that the App Store for Apple specifically has decided to shut down these apps that do track and do provide tips for folks to track down these federal agents. But how are these people orchestrating all of this?
So in that video specifically in Brighton Park, so that's a neighborhood where ICE agents showed up to coordinate and block off the crime scene. And then from there, it's just a social media frenzy. ICE is in town. ICE is in town. You know, you had people on phones calling neighbors and local people saying, hey, ICE is here. I see ICE. I see ICE. And this is something they've had to deal with the whole time they've been in the Chicago area. You know, as you pointed out, there are apps where people can coordinate. You know, hey, I saw ICE at my street corner right here or a different street corner. And then people will show up. I mean, they've been followed. They've been followed to their homes, apparently. They've been followed around the city. So the population is looking for them. And any chance they get to protest and cause a scene wherever they are, they're doing. But in that area, specifically in Brighton Park, it's a very heavily dense area. And people just showed up. They walked out of their houses. They're looking for some kind of confrontation to block, to protest, to yell. And in this case, it got violent.
Yeah, it did. And we're seeing this over and over again. It's not just in Chicago, too. It's happening all over the country. And we're waiting for the federal government to go after all of these, whoever's funding this, whoever's orchestrating this. I mean, it needs to be much bigger because, again, I mean, we're hearing from Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem saying that they're placing the cartel specifically or placing bounties on these federal agents' heads. And they're looking to see anywhere from like $2,000 and higher to go after these agents and retaliate and target them. And again, we're asking, you know, how much more are we going to put up with this? I mean, this is insane. You were there obviously on the ground with, was there ever a moment where you were just kind of like, I feel like my life's at risk. This is becoming really, really dangerous because they're throwing rocks and they're throwing bottles, but it's clear that they are looking to target anyone. And as a journalist, we've seen them attack Nick Sorter in Portland. Did you ever feel like this was getting really dangerous?
I would say that the Chicago crews, the groups there, are not interested in harassing media in general. Mm-hmm. I have not had any confrontation on that level. But the environment is quite dangerous. It's quite chaotic. It changes so fast. I mean, that one video, people are just protesting and then you have tear gas pop off, agents are roaring out of there, and then rocks start flying. So there's a lot of chaos that kind of occurs in those moments. But as far as attacking journalists itself, I have not seen that in the Chicago area or at Broadview, where the detention facility is. The Portland crews feel a little bit different, a little more hardened towards media, I guess. But, you know, in general, they're there to protest the federal agents. I mean, even on the weekend, state police showed up to really corral the protesters, and they really didn't want anything to do with them either. They're not interested in local PD or state police. They're very interested in what the federal government is doing, federal agents. That is their target. So that's the object of their hate and unrest. Not so much the media, but I will say the whole situation is very chaotic. I mean, we see a lot of the national media filming from afar, not getting too close, because it is dangerous. There's projectiles. Again, there's chaos. There's randomness that you don't necessarily know. In one of our videos, one of the photojournalists took a projectile right off the top of his helmet. And, you know, things like that can happen for sure. So you definitely need equipment, especially for the tear gas. That is incredibly noxious. But again, I've not had any hostility towards me specifically.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. With your busy man these days, I know you cover the White House specifically. Is there anything on your agenda for this week?
This week is going to be a restful week. It's been a pretty intense 7 days in Chicago, but we have a few stories that we're going to be putting out. We did an embed with ICE actually during one of their targeted operations. So we'll be putting that out at borderhawk.news.
Perfect. Well, we can't wait to see that. So thank you for joining me, my friend. Thank you for all the great coverage you've been doing on the ground. You know, we're watching as your stories are going viral, and it's because very few are willing to go to these areas, but you are fearless. So folks, give him a follow on X right now. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Brianna. God bless.
God bless you as well, my friend. All right, folks, more going around all around the world that we're still covering. There's a lot of craziness underway. I wanted to go to this story because it's kind of, you know, it's a lighter story, it's a funnier story, but it just shows how everyone's just lost their freaking minds these days. A New Jersey bound flight was forced to divert after an unruly passenger wearing over a dozen face masks, probably assume that, of course, began ranting about gay people and how they were giving him cancer. Huh. The Sun Country Airlines plane left from New Jersey Friday morning and had to cut its trip short. It's like the most insane thing ever. It just seems like this is becoming the new norm, right? Everyone's going crazy. And you'd figure it's somebody wearing more than a dozen masks at once. The plane is going down. This person was screaming, obviously not having a good day, possibly a mental episode, and they were forced to divert the plane. Now, again, the man was also screaming he was cooked by the gays. I don't know, folks. I don't know. Remember the last time this happened, when it was that woman who was not having a good day on her flight either. It was forced off the plane. I'd love to see if there's actual footage of this, though. As of right now, it doesn't look like it, but, you know, this is something that we need to keep looking into. Why is everyone going crazy in this world today? Why? It's, there's something about these flights. And again, I mean, if it's one thing, you know, your flight's late, you kind of get a little grumpy. But what forces someone to put on 12 masks? Why even let somebody on a plane with 12 masks? It's usually a warning sign these days. In fact, when I see somebody with a face mask on, I usually avoid them because I think, well, that person's crazy. That person's crazy. So, one of the many interesting stories going, there you go. That was the moment. A true legend was born. True legend. Folks, we live in very strange times. I don't think we ever got an explanation for that. I think Alex Stein specifically asked her too for an explanation. I don't think we ever heard back on that as to what was going on that day. There's another story that we wanted to dive into regarding the ex-quarterback for the New York Jets, Mark Sanchez. Now this gets a little interesting because at first I thought he was the victim of a stabbing, and that's kind of how it sounded. That he was in the hospital after being stabbed, and you're thinking, gosh, that's really, really bad. Now, according to reports, he was, at the time, was getting ready to report on work for the Sunday game, because he works for Fox Sports now. He works for Fox Sports. So he's in Indianapolis, and he apparently, got into an altercation with a 69-year-old truck driver in the downtown area. It was apparently in an alleyway, which resulted now in 3 criminal charges. Sanchez, 38 years old, was charged with battery, with injury, public intoxication, and unlawful entry of a vehicle, all misdemeanor offenses. But the driver, I mean, there was local news actually posted the footage or the images of the driver, and he's got his face slashed. Apparently, he was just looking to unload a truck. The driver then pulled out his knife. Sanchez was coming at him. This guy was trying to kill me, according to reports. The affidavit itself, though, details it, saying, according to the affidavit, the confrontation escalated to the point where the truck driver believed that he was in danger, sprayed Sanchez in the face with pepper spray, and apparently Sanchez was still going towards him. He told police that he thought he was going to be killed. The truck driver then pulled out his knife with Sanchez still coming at him, said he struck Sanchez two or three times. According to the affidavit, the truck driver said he was thrown against a dumpster. I mean, this is so crazy. I mean, you assume alcohol's involved, but we don't really know Sanchez's side to all of this. So you have to be fair and see what he has to say about this. But the driver was also reporting that he smelled alcohol. Sanchez was arrested by Indianapolis police. He's at the hospital on Saturday. The affidavit said he suffered several stab wounds to the right torso area, while the driver had a lacerations, as you see, on his left cheek, and was taken in. Sanchez told police all he could remember was grabbing for a window, adding that he did not know who stabbed him or where it happened. It's not looking good. It's not looking good for him. Thankfully, he's okay, but I mean, that driver, that poor man. Ugh, that's a brutal one. That is an absolute brutal one. Okay, let's turn to Virginia. Because everyone's talking about the story right now. And I guess it's worth highlighting because, it has to do with the very interesting election that's coming up right now in Virginia for AG. The Democrat for that is being accused of sending insane text messages. And they've got the screenshots to prove it, according to reports. Messages they say are coming from Jay Jones. So at the time, he did not hold elective office, obviously, but he was directing threats at then House Speaker Todd Gilbert. Now, these text messages from 2022 surfaced in which he suggested the top Republican in the state House get two bullets to the head. Gets even worse. Three people, two bullets, according to the messages that were released. And also going after his kids, too, it looks like. Huck Gilbert and the crew with two worst people you know, and he receives both bullets every time. So obviously this has a lot of people on edge, has a lot of people really upset. The governor of Virginia is calling for him to step out. Obviously, given the fact that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, we should have literally zero tolerance for these types of things. But again, those on the left, they are violent. They've always been violent. They think that's okay. Talking about putting a bullet in someone's head just because you politically disagree with them, that's the left. That's the left. And it's becoming increasingly worse because, again, they don't have to condemn their own people. In fact, Democrats are very hush-hush on the Jay Jones text messaging scandal. They actually won't even openly condemn those texts. No surprise, though. I mean, their own literally celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there was no accountability there. So why start now? Why start now? This is what's going on all around the country. And, I mean, it's no surprising that this is happening in Virginia. I mean, Virginia, obviously, they have a decent AG right now. But everything's for grabs in Virginia at this point. And is this the person you really want leading the highest office when it comes to enforcing the law? No, of course not. But notice the difference, right? Because whenever a Republican gets caught in a scandal like this, Republicans fall on the sword to condemn that person. Oh yeah, we must condemn this type of rhetoric. We must. And they always abandon their own. But Democrats never do. In fact, Democrats usually continue to back these people. And so it's not really surprising that this is continuously going on here, of course. But again, I mean, even President Trump telling him, get out, Jay Jones. Those messages are disgusting.
And we don't want any part in it. We don't want any part in it. All right. Well, let's turn to this because DHS has a kind of like a feel good clip that it just recently posted. We're going to play clip 9 for you because, I guess they're trying to re-energize the country, and they're doing so with this new video. Take a look.
This is Micah Bach, Deputy Assistant Secretary at DHS. For decades, our government failed its people. Our borders were open to illegal criminals who flooded our communities and decimated our way of life. Under the leadership of President Trump and Secretary Noem, we've reclaimed our border, secured our nation, and have begun to deport these foreign invaders. Equally important as the task of securing our borders is the task of defending our culture and what it means to be an American. This week, DHS is raising the flag and calling on Americans across the nation to join us in the fight to reclaim our identity as a people. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has launched a historic recruitment effort, calling on Americans to join the fight, to vet every person crossing our borders and close the door on immigration fraud and abuse. We know what it means to be an American. Everyone knows what an American is. And how we are seeking to empower each of you is to make the decisions that will determine what our country looks like for decades to come. You'll block communists, terrorists, and globalists who dilute our culture and import their failed ideologies. You'll work with ICE to arrest and deport those who lie, cheat, or spit on our Constitution. Your vigilance will stop foreign influence from poisoning our elections, our schools, and our churches. We will root out those who reject our heritage and our constitutional freedoms, as well as our way of life. America belongs to Americans. Our country is the birthright of our citizens, and those who seek to reap the rewards of entrance into our nation must, without exception, love this country, cherish its values, and assimilate into its culture. This is the most tangible way you can shape the future of our nation. Go to uscis.gov/join today. This week, in sanctuary cities like Chicago and Portland, ICE, CBP, and federal law enforcement faced mobs of the radical left, rioters, and terrorists hell-bent on tearing down our nation. In Chicago, these rioters and terrorists are roaming the streets carrying guns and improvised explosives. We are arresting these vicious criminals. We are fighting back, and we will win. In Portland, Antifa terrorists have waged an almost year-long siege on ICE centers. They've hurled rocks, Molotov cocktails, and crude IEDs, injuring our officers. Make no mistake, these rioters represent an existential threat to the safety of every American. They care more for the violent, criminal, illegal aliens they seek to protect than the Americans who've been victimized by these criminals. Their loyalty is no longer to the rule of law and American justice. They have embraced chaos, violence, anarchy, and terrorism.
And the federal government's looking to step in on all of this, folks, and go after these people, these monsters who are looking to destroy this country. So it's good that DHS is putting these videos out. I do like it because we need to be calling it out. We need to be calling it out from our federal government directly. You see, they think, those on the left, these left-wing terrorists, they can continue to do all of this and there's no ramifications. It needs to be exposed. The reality is you also can't rely on the media to fairly deliver this message because they don't. You see, they continue to pretend like this is all about this First Amendment, that these people have a right to be in the streets and protesting, but it's not peaceful protesting. It's not. And they want to rewrite history. They want to pretend like it is, but it's not that way. And in fact, federal officers are being attacked throughout our country, and there's very little being done on the local level to help protect them. So this really does all rely strongly on the federal government. So it's good to see DHS putting informational videos out like that. Folks, I want to remind you, while we all have you here, of course, because there's a big sale going on right now. We don't know how long it's going to last. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because for a limited time, we have the Last Stand Super Sale going on right now. It's 20% off site-wide. Plus, it's also buy one, get one free on any supplement while supplies last. And that obviously includes some of our biggest, most popular items on the website. So head on over there right now, the alexjonesstore.com. Everyone keeps talking about the ultimate creatine powder as well. So if you're someone who likes to work out a lot or if you're someone who's looking to improve your brain function, that's definitely something if you haven't tried out, you're going to want to do just that. Again, over at the alexjonesstore.com, it's 20% off site-wide, plus buy one, get one free while supplies last. So head on over there right now. All right, we got more underway in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like, getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up, because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it, because you had buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to, don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly, where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well,
thank you
for sharing your story.
Thank you so
and thank
much.
You for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Chicago or, you know, any of these areas. It was very crazy. Portland, things were popping off this weekend as they were last week. Obviously Antifa just being a bunch of scumbags going after Nick Sorter yet again. Yesterday, he was assaulted last night just for simply walking down the sidewalk with an American flag. Now, if you're a communist, obviously that infuriates you and that's why you'd go after Nick. But the reality of it is it's a public sidewalk. Nick could walk wherever he wants to walk. And so when he decided to, to test just that, his right to walk down a street. The left-wing terrorists weren't very happy with it. In fact, they assaulted him because, again, they don't like the fact that he's carrying the American flag. I believe that's the same one he rescued because they were trying to set it on fire. They did set it on fire at one point. He put it out. And then, of course, they go after him. Now, there's one face that looks familiar. I saw her get maced because she was going after Savannah Hernandez as well, just being obnoxious. So just a group of just miserable human beings going after Nick Sorter. But Nick not backing down anytime soon because, obviously, Nick is a patriot who loves this country. And he's had enough of sitting back and watching as these left-wing terrorists continue to attack people in this country. Joining me to discuss is Matt Tarrio. He was somebody who was front and center yesterday when it all happened. He's filming all of this, obviously. He's someone who was recording, but he's also a podcaster and a veteran. So he's had enough of seeing all of this happen and all of this unravel, and he's speaking out. So we're very excited to have him on the program today. Matt, I want to thank you for joining me because last night we saw Nick get assaulted again, and you were the one who was filming all of this. So kind of walk us through the footage a bit.
Yes, ma'am. So we were actually walking in the middle of the street after there was an altercation, you know, probably about 20, 30 feet over towards the ICE facility. So they started to clear us out and push us back over towards the Antifa tents. Portland police actually got off their butt and did something last night and started riding their bikes down the road and asked us all to get out the middle. So Antifa owns, as you are facing away from the ICE facility and looking in that street, the right side of the street. So the police asked us to get up on the sidewalk. We are going to obey their lawful commands. So we got on the sidewalk. We had Antifa on our left and Antifa on our right. Nick chose to turn right and go through the tents to start walking on the sidewalk. And that is, they do not own that property. It is public property and he has every right to walk down the middle of it. But Antifa and their little terrorist communist ways chose not to let us walk down there simply because it's Nick and he's carrying the burnt American flag. They tried to take the American flag back from him. And that is when you had all those other patriots get over there, start chasing after it. I will give credit to the one guy with that red beard. He actually grabbed Nick. It almost looks like he's giving a bear hug, but that guy was actually pretty friendly towards us. He went to actually go protect Nick. There is another gentleman that jumped out of the tent and started charging at Nick, and one of the gentlemen in our party, his name's Tommy, ended up getting in the middle. You can see him right up over there in just a second. He ended up laying a guy out because he came charging at him, and the guy thought he had to defend himself. So he punched the guy in his face and knocked him cold flat on the ground. Tommy actually ended up getting arrested over that, explained this entire situation to Portland Police Bureau. Nobody showed up and detained the individuals from Antifa that blocked Nick's legal walking down the sidewalk. They didn't search for the people that assaulted him. They didn't search for anybody, honestly. And what they ended up doing was arresting Tommy at the end of the day because he actually punched the guy that was charging at Nick. Because, I mean, let's be clear, they're violent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are violent. They are violent. And you know, Portland police, they're now in a bit of a situation now that the DOJ is looking into them and how they responded to Nick's first time. Actually, it's kind of like the second time he got assaulted because there was a woman who was assaulting him the night before as well. So it just highlights how violent these people are. And the fact that Nick shows up, they're not fans of. But it's not just Nick. It's other independent journalists on the ground who are also being assaulted.
It's all of us.
Yeah.
It's all of us. There was a female that we were with as I was actually talking to the police about one assault. That one with Nick, there was another assault that had occurred. And so I was talking with them about that. And then one of the females was getting assaulted by another female that was on their side, on the Antifa side. And as all of that's occurring, some gentleman in a long, dark green jacket ends up walking up. And one of the females came up to me and said, that man actually struck a female the other night. Mm-hmm. So politely asked him to go away, but he refused to. And so I sat there and kept him company while she dug up the video to show the law enforcement officers. Luckily, they actually agreed that it was probably the same guy because he was masked and everything else. And I asked him if he had warrants, if he wanted to have that discussion. I actually thought about punching him in the face just so that they could pull his information and see that he has a warrant because his face is covered up. And for his sake, he's lucky he walked away. And the cops did end up arresting him around the corner, I believe is what I heard. And,
Matt, I want to ask you too, because you're a veteran, obviously, and you're seeing this front and center of these lowlives who are attacking women and who are covering their faces like cowards, but they're doing it, obviously, for strategic reasons. How does it feel to be a veteran and have to look at these people and think that these are the people who, by the way, they're making a First Amendment argument in the mainstream media, saying that they have a First Amendment right to be there because they're peacefully protesting. But what's your perspective
peaceful.
As a vet? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not peaceful. So I'll give you my perspective as a former infantryman, as a retired Green Beret, And as a prior law enforcement officer, I can tell you 100%, I read the Oregon revised statutes, and what those people are doing is illegal. Mm-hmm. So your First Amendment right stops where you start impeding on the rights of others. So Nick has freedom to travel. I have freedom to travel. I have freedom to film. I have freedom to be out there and do my First Amendment protected activities. They don't seem to think that way. They think they're the only one who should have it, and they believe that they should be able to trample on your rights in order to accomplish it. They want to try to silence you. They are actually blocked off the roadway. There's a video over on my X account y'all can pull up where the entire protesters came over and took up the entire street the day before yesterday. And there was four Portland police officers that were standing on the corner. And you actually had guys on bicycles in underwear block traffic to the street. The Portland Police Department, excuse me, the Portland Police Bureau. Don't want to embarrass other departments. I don't want them to get confused and dirty someone else's name. Yeah. The Portland Police Bureau quickly jumped inside their pickup truck and just drove away. And that's actually captured on video as well. And they just let it happen. And it carried on for hours. Cars ended up driving through. You know, some lady's car ended up getting assaulted by the protesters because it's not like the street shut down on Google Maps and there's a guy dancing around in his underwear acting like his dang block party. The cops don't even block the dang roadway off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess to sit back and watch and see. So, no surprise to hear what you're saying from your perspective on this. But, you know, Nick has court in a few hours and he's going to have to go into that courtroom. I'm hearing from you and others, though, that there will be protesters outside when Nick makes his way into the courtroom and when he makes his way out of the courtroom. Obviously, that's going to be those on the far left. But you've got a plan in place right now for just to highlight the hypocrisy in regards to how law enforcement's not going to be Let's see. I won't say that they won't equally apply the law, but how they've allowed Antifa to take over the sidewalk, you plan on doing that too by setting up your own tent of your own. But what's the strategy involved in making sure that Nick gets out safe without giving away too much?
At the courthouse?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell anybody. Come find out. If you want to play games, come at me.
Yeah, I think that's really important too. Now, you're setting up a tent. What specifically are the details behind that?
Oh, man, we're setting up a lot of tents, actually. Decided that, you know, we got enough, a little bit of funding that's rolled in so far before I jumped in. We're probably sitting around like $1,500. That's enough to buy all the canopies I want. Mm-hmm. But in between the Antifa camp and the ICE facility, there is one sidewalk that leads to the ICE facility. And finally, Portland Police is at least telling people to stay off the road. Well, according to the conduct of the Portland Police Department not investigating the assault on Nick last night, it would appear that you're allowed to block sidewalks off and not allow other people to pass through, and they won't investigate and they won't do anything about it. So that is a standard in which the Portland Police Bureau is set, in which they will not intervene. Therefore, I will conduct myself accordingly, prop up a tent on the sidewalk, and make sure that we have our camp set up right in between the Antifa protesters and the ICE facility. If they want to get to the ICE facility, they can go out in the middle of the road and risk getting arrested. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this much, when they open the gate and the federal officers come back out, they're still not coming through my camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, things have gotten crazy over there. And so it's good to see you guys standing your ground and to make sure that the law is equally being applied if they want to keep doing this. And, you know, Nick's a friend. He obviously has a show on InfoWars and we love him dearly over here. So we want to make sure that him and all of you guys stay safe. So thank you for joining us. I know it's an early morning, but I know some of you, including you, have not slept. Because you were out there and you were making sure that you were going to hold the line on all of this. So we appreciate you jumping on with us today. So thank you, Matt.
Yeah, you know, we have a saying, man. I learned it in Ranger School. Sleep's a crutch. We'll be fine. And Nick's in good hands. I promise you that. There's lots of Patriots coming out. I was talking to people flying in from across the country. He's in good hands.
We love that. We love that. Well, thank you for all that you're doing. And thank you again for keeping Nick and so many incredible people safe, as you always do, as a veteran and as a former law enforcement officer. We appreciate everything that you've done so far, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
All right, folks. I don't know how much longer we have to wait for this, but James Comey hasn't been arrested yet. And we're waiting more and more to see what the heck is going on here. But again, I don't know which more we have to wait on. I mean, when we compared it last week, we had Roger Stone on this program. Roger was obviously met with the full force of the FBI when they charged him with the same accusations. And here we are. The former FBI director is still free. We still don't have a mugshot. And he's still not being woken up with armed agents. Now, truthfully, if we're playing by the same set of rules, he should be getting that level of treatment. But we're not. We're not. And so we're all sitting here wondering what's going to happen. Now, obviously, we know that Comey's going to have to appear in court, that this is something that he's going to have to be held accountable for. But again, why do we have a DOJ right now who is not going after these people aggressively enough? Now, hear me out. Okay, we continue to hear on all fronts that there's going to be more charges possibly dropping. And I'm going to play this clip because Devin Nunes has been out there. He's been talking about this. In clip 10, he did a very in-depth dive into what specifically Americans can expect and highlighting what's gone on so thus far. So let's take a listen.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Maria.
I want to get your expectation of more charges to come against Jim Comey and more of his colleagues who worked on the Russia collusion story, pushed it through across the world. What are you expecting?
Look, I'm expecting a full investigation. If you look at the transparency that's been brought by the intelligence agencies under Trump, unprecedented level of transparency where we're now finally getting out documents that the American people had never seen. So I think you're beginning to see real clear clairvoyance on what happened between 2016 all the way to the Mar-a-Lago raid. And I think that's where, culminating with the Mar-a-Lago raid, is where I think I really still have a lot of questions of documents that really need to get out there. And I think an investigation needs to kind of start there and go back, because we know for sure what happened in 2016 that Comey was well aware of, is that this was all, the whole Russia hoax was all designed to get Trump, because they were worried about her emails coming public back in 2016 before the election. So yeah. I think we have real clairvoyance there, Maria. You've covered on your show for many, many years. Where we still are missing information is, you know, how was Jack Smith appointed to go after Trump in 22? Who decided to raid Mar-a-Lago? What documents were they looking for? These are all the questions that still remain to be answered. And I think where the investigators need to start from there and go back.
What is different about grand conspiracy? What does grand conspiracy tell us if, in fact, they are able to put the puzzle together that, yes, this has been a conspiracy since 2015?
Well, I think you just have to answer yourself the common sense question is was it a conspiracy or not? And clearly, unless you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, this has been a conspiracy to weaponize the U.S. intelligence agencies against the most popular Republican since Ronald Reagan, and that is President Trump. He became very popular in 2016, was a popular president, remains popular, was reelected president. It was all designed to target and take down one of your political enemies, so much so that they actually raided his home. A private home of a former president at that time. I mean, these are not things that allow a republic to be in a situation where it can withstand the long run if you have intelligence agencies that are effectively working with the fake news, working with nonprofits, all to benefit one political party. And that's what you've had. So it was a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. And so whether or not you can make those charges, I'm not a lawyer, never been a prosecutor, but I've done a lot of these investigations. And to me, really what matters is the court of public opinion. What matters are the statutes and law. And I would, from my vantage point, it's pretty clear that there was a conspiracy on a number of fronts. Most importantly, I think lying and misleading, I think that's a key word, misleading, Congress and other investigations, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a start again. We don't know where this is all going to lie. The fact that, again, I have not seen a mugshot get released, doesn't have me too confident, but we will continue to follow it. Again, I'm being told that there are several, grand juries going on throughout the country right now in regards to others who are going to in the future be charged with crimes. So we'll continue to see it as it unravels. But again, I do hope there's more that lands on James Comey's lap when it comes to indictments, charges, because he needs to face the full force of our law. He got away with way too much over the years. And now is the time to go after these people. And it's infuriating that we still really haven't seen much come out of the DOJ. This is all kind of the beginning phases, though. And so we'll remain optimistic that more is underway. I want to highlight an issue that I think is actually really, really important. I don't think we talk about it enough in regards to children being targeted online. Now, It's not the traditional standard that you hear when we talk about children being targeted online. It's usually predators who do go after them, try to meet them in person so they could sexually abuse them. But there's a whole other avenue that very rarely gets exposed. And there's only a couple of journalists that I know who are actually out there doing the digging. And I was actually very, I was very happy to see that BBC was actually covering this issue. And it's how young boys are now being targeted through images that would obviously be considered embarrassing for them. And there's a whole network of individuals who are going out there, predators and just awful human beings who are going out there and targeting these children. And BBC has released a news package on it. And it's very important that we start having this discussion. So especially if you have kids, I want you to take a listen, because what you're about to hear is extremely disturbing, but it's worth paying attention to. Take a listen to clip 11 from BBC.
Why do you target young boys?
Because the sex drive is so high and young guys are scared of picture being released to their class groups, their parents and their friends.
A new BBC investigation has spoken to sexual extortion scammers in Nigeria. They trick their victims into sending explicit imagery and then use it to blackmail them.
Once you complete the amount you agreed, you can still tell them I'm not satisfied with the amount you paid.
Sounds like you're pretty ruthless. You carry on for a long period of time. In many cases, that could ruin someone's life.
I don't feel bad. I do feel the ones killing herself are just tired of life.
Ola, not his real name, showed no empathy for his victims. Our investigation showed how other scammers are using deepfake technology to trick their victims about who they're speaking to. Their threats of widely releasing pictures can be terrifying for victims. However, this can be stopped and support is available. In the UK, anyone under 18 can use the report remove tool, which can remove nude or sexual images from the internet, block them from being re-uploaded, and also offer support. The same technology is available worldwide through the Internet Watch Foundation. Children should also speak to a trusted adult.
Sextortion is a real thing, and it's been going on for a very long time now. And sadly, it's becoming increasingly worse. There's more individuals, like you saw that Nigerian man, the monster, I should say, who's going out there and targeting children, and specifically boys. And time and time again, we just don't want to talk about it because it's so embarrassing to have to sit there and have these discussions with kids. Kids should know, and this is why it's so important to show these videos to them. They should know that if this does happen to you, you should not fear coming forward. In fact, complying could actually make the situation significantly worse, that the law is on your side. This is what needs to be described to children, because children don't get it. They're so fearful of getting in trouble. Obviously, their brain is not fully developed yet, and so they don't understand the ramifications of all of this. So all these monsters who are out there trolling and tracking and preying upon these kids, they need to be targeted. But we also need to be telling children not to be afraid, not to be afraid. If you do something, let's say, you're not supposed to do, and you do send these images, you shouldn't be embarrassed to report it to police if it continues to get worse for you, if they are trying their very best to, whether it's money, whether it's to ask for other images of you. The law is on your side, especially when you were being targeted. You know, so many times we don't tell kids this, and so they're cooperating in fear, or sadly, we've seen so many cases of this, they're taking their own lives because the stress is really, really unbearable. See, these people are monsters. They will attack you. They will go into all of your electronic devices. There was a film, I believe it was on Netflix, where they were grabbing off the cloud young women, their images, their nude photos, and they were putting it out there and blackmailing them with this. I mean, so many kids have taken their own lives. Here's another great example of it. In California, this hits right here, folks. This isn't just happening in the UK, this is happening all over the world, and we need to do more to protect children. They need to know that you could come forward and report this, and although it is embarrassing, we're not going to judge you for it. We're not going to judge you for it, because we need to end this. With all of these platforms, and I've covered it before, Discord, all these platforms are exposing children to predators online. They need to know that if this does happen to you, we don't pass judgment. You need to come forward and we need to help you. You know, when I started doing news and covering all of this, one of my beginning kind of phases in all of this was helping sexual assault victims. And people have gone through similar situations like this and covering it as best as I could. But, you know, law enforcement doesn't do much. And that is a major issue. And so that's why we have to push back. You know, there was several instances where there was one woman who I was working through a program. She needed to get a rape kit done, sadly, after she was sexually assaulted the night before. And law enforcement wasn't, like, trying to be kind to her. I was there. I was front and center. In fact, they didn't have a nurse in the hospital that they brought her to where there was somebody who was licensed and was trained to administer a rape kit. And so they had her sitting there for hours. And when this young woman, who had obviously been through one of the worst nights of her life, just wanted to get up and leave because she had enough of just sitting around and waiting and wanted to just take a shower, she said the officer threatened to arrest her. Now, I know this because I was right there. He was threatening to arrest her for filing a report, a false report, he was going to say. And so she had to go to another hospital where they did have a nurse who was trained to administer a rape kit. So we have a lot of fixing that needs to be done in this country. Number one, when victims come forward, we need to take them seriously. We need to do more to protect children. We're not doing even the bare minimum to protect children online. And as you saw, so they just pulled up, our staff just pulled up our control room. They just pulled up that article where four children in that report took their own lives because of all of this. We need to do more to protect children. I think it's an absolute disgrace that we don't do enough. That when those call law enforcement, you know, obviously we're not going to talk about my Plano incident, but I've also had instances in New York where I called police and asked them for help. I mean, I was in college and I asked them for help and they didn't really want any involvement. We need to have more ramifications for those who are supposed to enforce the law, who refuse to do their own jobs. There needs to be more done. We've got to do more to protect children. You know, I think I talk to Alex, at least Alex Rosen, probably twice a week now. He's one of the few people who go out there every day and confront these predators. Our country is, I'm embarrassed to say, the leader when it comes to human trafficking, when it comes to all of these types of cases, and we just don't do enough to protect kids. But now you see Nigeria's in on the scam. They're targeting children. And as you heard that man say, he doesn't really care. He doesn't really care. You know, there were other cases that I was reading because there's so many journalists. There's a limited amount of journalists who were covering it, but they are incredible journalists. And there was one who was out there and detailing how these children were being targeted. And again, when they reached out for help, nobody cared to help them. But they were being targeted by, like, swatting, right? So the person who is trying their very best to get more from them, more content from them, more child pornography from them, would send them threats. And if they didn't respond, they would actually swat their homes so that they knew where they lived. I mean, this is what's going on right now in this country. It's happening here, and kids are taking their lives over it. So it really needs to be taken more seriously. Show someone that you know who has children that BBC story. Have them show their children that. Don't be embarrassed when these things happen. You come forward and report it. All right, folks, I want to turn and remind you all that it is the last stand super sale going on right now over the alexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over there because, again, this sale isn't going to last forever. It's for a limited time right now. It is 20% off site-wide, plus buy one, get one free on supplements. It's for a limited time while supplies last. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to stock up on your favorites. And I know I'll be doing that in just a few moments as well. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and support us. Because when you support us over at the alexjonesstore.com, you help us stay in this fight. We don't know when the doors are closing. And when you support us over at the alexjonesstore.com, it helps us prepare for whatever our next plan is. And so we greatly appreciate it when you do just that. All right, there's more show to dive into at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, the West Awakens with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowstonestore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got war bonds. It's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100, and it's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, it's like being Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. Get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. It's the third hour of the program. Every time I hear this song, I always think of The View and those pigs on The View, how they were dancing to this when Trump had been issued that ridiculous lawsuit. I guess they said settlement, like this punishment, his penalty. I hate those women. I hate them with a passion. But welcome back to the program. We're excited that you guys are all here. In the third hour of the show, we are diving into more headlines because a lot more happening, especially in Chicago. I just got word the Chicago mayor thinks that he could suddenly make ice-free zones. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. That won't go over very well for you, sir. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Plus, we'll be talking about the latest regarding the AutoPen scandal. That's happening. But most importantly, in the third hour of the show, we're taking your calls. So if you'd like to give me a ring, do it now, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. We want to hear from you. Something I missed, something you want to talk about, something that's on your mind. You know, I asked yesterday too on X, you know, if there's topics that you want me to cover, let me know. And so I kind of go through it throughout the week and kind of pick apart what we could talk about that you guys are interested in. So this is another way of us hearing from you. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. You know, we look forward to hearing from our audience, of course. A lot happening today. We were very lucky to get the congressman on today. Abe Haberman is one of the great congressmen in Arizona right now, and he is somebody who was added to that terror watch list. We also had Sergeant John Mattingly on the program today. Mattingly is doing his very best to push back on making sure that we hold that we protect one of the officers who defended him. If you guys recall, Mattingly was shot during the Breonna Taylor shooting, and she was shot by Taylor's boyfriend. And right now, the officer who responded by returning fire, well, he was shot on, he shot back, and the Biden regime actually wanted to throw him in prison, and they are actively still looking to do so, thanks to a judge who sentenced that officer to 33 months in prison. Now, obviously, can you imagine what it's going to be like in federal prison to be an officer who was involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting? Not shooting Taylor directly, obviously, but just firing back after Taylor's boyfriend opened fire and shot one of his colleagues in the leg. I mean, he's going to get to prison. And you know what they're going to do to him. They're going to try to target him. Right now, we're waiting for the Trump administration to issue a pardon. I mean, that's what they have to do. The DOJ did not want, under Trump, they requested to the judge that they don't want any prison time. But the judge said, no. He was convicted. We're sending him to 33 months. So, you know, I'm not a supporter of this. I actually want to help him. It's Brett Hankinson is the individual who is now looking at turning himself into prison this week specifically. And I'm very worried for him. I'm very worried for this man. The Trump administration yet not announcing if they're going to pardon him. We cannot allow him to go to federal prison. They will try to kill this man in federal prison. He did nothing wrong. I mean, Taylor's boyfriend opened fire first. He was returning it after he saw that his colleague was shot. That was Mattingly, who he had on the show. So again, we need President Trump to act on this. This is very, very important. Sending this man to federal prison will not do well. Will not go over well, at least. his safety is at risk, and this is something that should be a very top priority for us. Now, as I said, I'm going to dive into the latest regarding ICE. ICE is under attack. But also right now, President Trump is trying to work out a peace deal between Israel and Hamas. Jake Tapper, it was quite strange, but Jake Tapper claims that he was interviewing President Trump via text. So we've got that for you. We'll let you hear it out, of course. But then we also want to bring the latest in regards to that individual who was just sentenced after trying to kill Brett Kavanaugh. Obviously, the Supreme Court justice. Well, now, in case you didn't know, that individual is, of course, a woman. I feel like they're trying to boost the crime rates amongst women because women obviously aren't violent. And so they'll point to a case like this and say, oh, wow, this is a woman, counting the data. Folks, a female would never do what this man did. So we got a lot to dive into in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We're kicking off the third hour of the American Journal in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now dominating at the Apple Store. After launching the app just a couple days ago, we are now the second most downloaded app in the world. And as you all know, the Democrats and the deep state are, they've done everything they can to shut us down. Now it's up to you to make us number one. So download the Alex Jones app right now at alexjonesapp.com. And let's make AJN Live the number one app in the world.
Download the brand new app because it's rising to the top of the charts. Give it a go. Download the AJN Live app right now over at alexjonesapp.com. Head on over there right now. Stay in touch with us because you never know when that front door will be locked. So we want to stay in touch. Have a great weekend. Alex is next. Country this weekend, a lot of violence, of course, from those on the left. No surprise there. So we're kind of unpacking all of that, but there's a couple of important cases that I want to make sure stays on your radar. Obviously, the Auto Pen scandal, which was the Pen doing all the work behind the Biden regime, because obviously Joe Biden was not competent to be running the show, and so whoever was behind the scenes kind of took over, and they decided to just sign away things like freeing pedophiles who were caught with thousands of child pornographic images. For some reason, the Biden administration thought that was a top priority, and they use AutoPen there. But they use AutoPen to pardon those in the J6 committee because we were told that those were great patriots who love this country and just wanted to expose what happened that day. But why would they need criminal immunity if they were good people? Probably weren't good people, and they probably were violating the law. And that's the reason why they use AutoPen there. But there's a lot that we're still uncovering. And, you know, when it comes to all of this, I am like hyper-focused. We're going to play clip 13 for you because I don't trust many people. But there's one person who I've known and who I hold a lot of trust in. So whenever Ed Martin says something, that's President Trump's pardon attorney. That's one of the special prosecutors looking into the mortgage fraud cases. He's got a lot of hats these days. But when Ed Martin says something, I listen, and I also truly believe everything he says. So I want you to take a listen to this clip, because he's talking about the J6 committee destroying evidence.
What about the January 6th committee? Did they destroy evidence? Is there criminality there?
Of course. Of course. We're all in that, too. And trust me, a lot of people did not get a pardon that were involved in the select committee, and they ought to be keeping an eye on their mailbox, because there's to be asked about.
And the pardons that were given out were done by an AutoPen. Are they legitimate?
Well, I'm the pardon attorney, so I have I'm in that too. I can tell you we're investigating how the pardons were granted. It was not like anything in the history of America what Joe Biden, not Joe Biden, his staffers did, not just with the auto pen, but with faking him out on the memos. More to come, Maria. I'm telling you, Pam Bondi has let us loose, and when this comes out, it'll take the whole of these people's hoaxes down, and we're doing it bit by bit, and it's fantastic. It's a great privilege.
And that's what you want to hear. Now, again, when Ed Martin tells you something, you better listen. You better listen. I also want to play this clip of James Comer, because James Comer is giving us an update on his AutoPen's investigation. And it's important that we listen carefully on this, because he's kind of detailing what would happen if we found out that AutoPen was behind a lot of these pardons, these executive orders, and these other things that were signed by allegedly Joe Biden. Take a listen.
I think the auto pen investigation is close to wrapping up. New information continues to come in. There are a lot of books that are in the pipeline that we believe are going to continue to show that Joe Biden wasn't calling the shots. At the end of the day, this investigation is about whether or not these pardons and executive orders, whether or not they were authorized by the President of the United States, whether or not the President of the United States even had the mental capacity to know what he was authoring with that auto pen. And I think the obvious is I think we all know the answer to that, but stay tuned to that investigation. And I think at the end of the day, it's safe to say all of the pardons and all of the executive orders that were signed with that auto pen, especially during the last 3 months of the Biden administration, especially on days when Joe Biden was supposedly in the White House, I think they're all in political jeopardy right now.
Yeah. Chairman, real quick on that, right on the auto pen. So say you come to the conclusion in Congress that those things are fraudulent, that you then send that recommendation over to the DOJ and it becomes a judicial process. Essentially, you're suing or at least taking these things to court.
Yes, and I think it's going to end up in court. That's why this investigation, we're making sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed. Every American knows that something fishy was going on with that auto pen. None of this makes sense. We've given all the Biden senior level staffers an opportunity to come in and tell the truth. I think I've said before on this show, their stories are not consistent. They're not consistent with the emails that we've discovered. So I think that the American people know that something bad was going on here. It never needs to happen again. But at the end of the day, the most pressing concern is, are these pardons and are these executive orders legal? And, you know, it's not looking good for the legality of those legal documents that were signed with the Biden auto pen.
Chairman Comer, thank you so much for joining us tonight. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. Obviously, we want to hear that. I sat back and I watched, and the media, of course, didn't really cover the pardons at length. They instead, you know, grabbed a couple. Oh, it's the J6 committee. It's a couple of high profile individuals. But when you did a deep dive, you realize that there was actually, egregious human beings. I don't know how else to phrase this, but egregious human beings who were being released. Like I mentioned, I mean, this was an individual. It was Plano. It was an individual who I believe is a Chinese spy. He's a Chinese national, and he was caught with thousands of child pornographic images on his devices. And when the police were kind of going through it all, they just stopped after seeing the first couple of hundred, because there were thousands and thousands of more, and it's depressing. Who wants to look at that? Now, Joe Biden made it a top priority to make sure that he was somehow released. When I say Joe Biden, I'm referring to AutoPen. But again, should he have been released? No, of course not. This is someone who belongs behind bars, and you have those types of vile images on your devices, and you're also a Chinese national who I believe was actually a student at the time, which is usually a pretty obvious indicator of a CCP spy. But again, I guess China made it a top priority to get this person back into their country. Probably adds again to my allegations regarding he's a spy. But Joe Biden just went and vouched for this individual. So he's a disgusting human being, of course. And whoever else is behind the auto pen scandals, which we hope to find out very, very soon. Folks, I want to remind you as well, in just a few moments, we're going to be taking your calls, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We want to hear from you. Give us a ring. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try to keep everyone to a very limited time window so we can go through all the callers, because I do want to hear from all of you, and we try our very best to go down the list and do just that. So give us a call, 877-789-2539. Is there something on your mind you want to talk about? Now is the time to do just that. That's when I turn the microphone over to you. So give us a call. All right. So, you know, we keep talking about ICE and what's been going on these last few days, last few weeks. Obviously, ICE is being met with a bunch of radical left-wing terrorists who are just going after them. They don't want them to take the worst of the worst off the streets. And it's well orchestrated, of course. But it's getting a lot of assistance from local officials. If you're in Chicago, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about your mayor, Brennan Johnson. He is a communist. He has a very low approval rating. But again, he got elected because, well, there's low voter turnout in Chicago, unfortunately. And so now this commie thinks he could somehow, some way, in clip 16, begin creating ICE-free zones. Take a listen.
Today, we are signing an executive order aimed at reining in this out-of-control administration. The order establishes ICE-free zones. That means that city property and unwilling private businesses will no longer serve as staging grounds for these raids.
You know what that executive order is worth? Especially when it comes to federal agents, it's worth literally nothing. It's worth nothing. It'd probably make a toilet paper if you could. Because the reality of it is that the federal government doesn't have to abide by local rules. We saw that in California when they tried to ban federal agents from wearing face covers. Well, that didn't go over well for them either. So obviously Johnson pretending like that's going to do something for people, but it's not. It's not. Your ICE-free zones will, in fact, be met with ICE. And it will be worth absolutely nothing. What are you going to do to stop ICE from coming into these free zones? So there's no real plan in place. It's just to catch a couple of headlines, to catch the attention of those who somehow elected him. But again, he's a horrible person, a racist, a race baiter, communist. And he only got into his position because, well, sadly, those in Chicago don't really show up to vote. And based on like the last mayor, remember Beetlejuice, this is actually kind of a step down still. The city of Chicago. And Chicago is a beautiful city. Like, I love going there. Steakhouses are great. Politicians are absolute trash over there, though. Absolute trash. And the federal government's going to have to look out for their own. And, you know, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, she is, pretty much is it. That's a great one. That's a great one. Kristi Noem is out here and she's saying, you know, we are on our own. Our agents are only really receiving much in the way of support in these cities from our own. In fact, the cartels are going after them. And in clip 14, you know, Kristi Noem is just flat out saying that we've caught the cartels actually putting bounties on the head of our agents. Take a listen.
Intelligence indicates that these people are organized. They're getting more and more people on their team as far as attacking officers, and they're making plans to ambush them and to kill them. We have specific officers and agents that have bounties that have been put out on their heads. It's been $2,000 to kidnap them, $10,000 to kill them. They've released their pictures. They've sent them between their networks, and it's an extremely dangerous situation and unprecedented. So we've put protective detail around those individuals, change some of our operations to keep our officers safe. But make no mistake, this isn't just about, you know, protesting free speech or that they don't like that people out here are upholding the law of our country. They're actually going out there and saying, kill these people and we'll give you this much money to do it.
Our federal agents are working with right now, and it's very unfortunate. But again, I mean, we saw it this weekend. These two that were arrested, they literally were going after federal agents as they were just trying to drive into the neighborhoods. And we saw two of these instances where they were actually attacked, using their SUVs to go after and to pin down these federal agents. And again, they're just doing their jobs. But take, I mean, that woman on your screen, according to DHS, she was armed. She was armed, forcing agents to actually have to shoot at her. Apparently also, on top of it all, she was actually on their bulletin because she was doxing, according to them. She was doxing ICE agents. I mean, imagine how evil you have to be to do that. Imagine how evil you have to be to do that. Because these ICE agents, I mean, I think the statistic is that 70% of the people they're arresting have criminal records. 70%. And I get the emails. ICE constantly sends out emails every day as to what kind of sexual predators are taking off the streets. And every day we're getting updates about the dozens of sexual predators they're taking off the streets. And I used to give updates and share it every day with people, but there's just so many now, it's really hard to keep up with. You see, ICE is actually going after people with criminal backgrounds, criminal records. And if you're in this country illegally, guess what? That means you committed a crime and you must leave. You must leave. The Trump administration has given all of these illegal aliens an opportunity to leave voluntarily and then try to legally come back into our country. You have to uphold law in this country. You cannot continue to allow people just to enter into your country and live here whenever they want to. For the last 4 years under the Biden regime, we saw all of these prisons through all of these third world countries empty out their prisons and bring them all here into the U.S. And so now ICE has to go out there and recapture these people and get them out. You know, I was the one who exclusively broke the story in regards to how the Biden regime knew of convicted pedophiles who were coming into our country. I broke that story for you over at theindependentnewsroom.com. They knew that these people were convicted sex offenders. And they allowed them to come into our country. They just had to sign a couple of forms. Now, I had to sue TSA to get those forms because under the Biden regime, they didn't want to hand it over to me. But interesting enough, if they were convicted of a sexual crime in another country, all they had to do was just say, we're going to take some training courses. Thanks for pulling this up, guys. I appreciate that. That's all they had to say. And so again, this is what was happening under the Biden regime. They were allowing violent sex offenders to come into our country. Now ICE is trying to go through it all and get rid of them. And what are we doing? We're allowing these left-wing terrorists to try to stop ICE from doing that? No, we're not. We're not going to allow that. And again, I don't want to cheerlead for bigger government, more government. But the reality is you need the government to step in here. You need them to step in here. And the worst part about that TSA story, may I remind you guys, is that these forms that were being given out, you were a convicted sex offender, and what you were abiding by, like that you would register as a convicted sex offender when you came into our country within, I think, 14 days, or whether you would take these training courses to kind of make you a non-pervert. They were trying to, I guess, they believe that they could actually fix these people. Absolute garbage. But the worst part is they were using that form to get onto planes because they didn't have IDs. And that's actually how I got that. So that was going on in the Biden administration. Sex offenders were allowed to flood into this country. And now with this new administration, they're trying to get them out. But of course, they're trying their very best to prevent that from happening. It's also worth bringing some attention as we are getting ready to actually come upon the second anniversary of October 7th, that terrorist attack that took place in Israel. President Trump is making sure that a peace deal is reached. He's had enough. And he's sounding off on Truth Social about it. But right now, it looks like Israel and Hamas officials are going to be making their way into Egypt to go over what their demands are on both sides of all of this. Now, according to reports, Hamas's demands are unreasonable. They're looking for individuals who have been convicted of murdering and carrying out heinous terror attacks to be released, to be freed. Now, obviously, if you're Israel, you can't do that. Because these people, whether they end up going back out there and killing more in Israel or other countries, I mean, these people are not people who are looking to contribute to society. Maybe they change their ways. They never do. They never do. And so, of course, if you're Israel, that's a non-starter. I mean, one of these individuals was accused of carrying out an attack that killed over 36 Israelis. He's serving 45 life term sentences. And that's what Hamas, according to reports, is looking to be freed. Again, President Trump coming out on Truth Social this weekend saying, we're not doing this. We're not going to let you guys sit here and take your time with releasing these hostages. You will release them now. You will release them now. And interesting enough, and again, it's Jake Tapper, so I always say, you know, take it for what it's worth. But Jake Tapper is saying that he was actually texting with President Donald Trump and asking him questions in regards to the peace deal between both Hamas and Israel. And this is what Tapper said in clip 15.
Over the weekend, I had a quick text interview with President Trump, focused mainly on his proposed peace proposal or ceasefire proposal with Hamas and Israel. I asked him, if Hamas insists on staying in power in Gaza, what happens? The president wrote back, complete obliteration. I then pointed him to a text from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham that seemed to express skepticism that Hamas had actually signed on to this peace proposal. Lindsey Graham interpreted the response as a rejection because they insisted on, quote, no disarmament, keeping Gaza under Palestinian control, and tying hostage release to negotiations. I said to the president, is he wrong? The president said, we will find out. Only time will tell. I asked, when will you know if Hamas is truly committed or just stringing the world along? And is Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu on board with ending the bombing as you called for and whatever else you need him to do to make this peace proposal a reality? The president wrote back, yes on Bibi, soon on rest. I asked a question about the Arab League that he didn't respond to, and I said, I hope your vision for peace becomes a reality. He said, I hope, working hard. I said, how do you think the government shutdown is going to end? He said, good, we are winning and cutting costs big time. I asked another question that he didn't answer, but in any case, that was my weekend text interview with President Trump.
Isn't that interesting? How does Jake Tapper get access to text the president of the United States? He's been a liar. He has been one of the many baiters out there trying to create and booster political tensions. I mean, why do you even give him the time of day? One would ask. But again, I mean, apparently, according to him, he's texting President Trump. CNN's trash. I wouldn't even give him the time of day. They will take all this out of context. They don't even appreciate it, right? Like having access to the president. I mean, Jake Tapper never had that level of access to Joe Biden. And yet they still go out there and bash him every day. Let's turn to that story because I don't know if people really were paying attention to it because it's kind of crazy, right? Because Brett Kavanaugh was one of apparently three justices that was targeted by now the transgender individual who was just recently sentenced to just 8 years in prison after he, now again, CNN decides to use she as if it's a woman. It's not. It's a biological male who was going after Brett Kavanaugh, was armed and was going to try to kill him, was only sentenced to 8 years in prison. Now again, this person was basically a massive, massive potential prison statement, a sentence. 30 years with the DOJ sought, and unfortunately, it looks like we are just now going to have to settle for 8 years. And the DOJ isn't very happy about this. Pam Bondi coming out and saying, I'm going to appeal this because 8 years is absolutely nothing. This judge is a disgrace. It wasn't just Brett Kavanaugh. And again, they focus on that. There were other justices that this person was looking to go after. And of course, as soon as he comes out and says, I'm trans, 8 years. 8 years. Which is insane, given the fact that Enrique Tarrio was sentenced to, what, over 22 years in prison for not being at a rally? Stuart Rhodes, 18 years, didn't go into the Capitol. See, these judges are very particular with how they go about issuing these sentences. 8 years in prison for someone who wanted to kill a Supreme Court justice because he wasn't happy that they were going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so Brett Kavanaugh and others had to die because of that. That's how they saw it. Again, a biological man. Now, we don't know what the status of this person is, whether they were taking hormones at the time of all of this. But isn't it interesting that you could commit the most heinous acts in this country, and for some reason, the media will still respect whatever kind of gender you want to pick? Oh, you're a female now. So now they refer to her as she. Again, I think a lot of it also, and this is why I can't trust anymore the crime stats that come in, is to booster female crime stats. Because women don't commit these types of crimes. It's very, very rare when they do, at least. These are crimes that are committed by biological men. Men that might be on hormones. And so, to sit here and to watch as they continue to pretend like 8 years is efficient is just disgusting. It's just disgusting. And again, life in prison probably should have been given for this person. I don't care if you're mentally not well. And that's not even the argument being made here. This is literally just someone saying, I'm trans. I'm trans. But the good news, again, Pam Bondi is going to be appealing this decision. She thinks 8 years is literally a slap on the wrist for someone who is accused of going out there and trying to kill Brett Kavanaugh and other justices as well, because they didn't like what the Supreme Court was going to do. By the way, did we ever find out who the leaker was on all of that? No. We never found that out either. Who leaked what was going to happen with Roe versus Wade? Because they wanted what you saw. They wanted these justices to feel threatened. And so that's the reason why they leaked it. All right, folks, in the next half of the hour, we are going to be taking your calls, 877-789-2539. I see the lines are blowing up. We're going to make our way down the call list. So if you have something on your mind, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. I say it really fast. I know a lot of you tell me to stop talking so fast. So let me try it slow. 877-789-2539. I want to hear from you, so give me a ring.
Speaking of mysteries, how did you wind up knowing Alex Jones?
It was his early videos. It was his early documentaries. It was the stuff he produced himself, like on VHS. I watched that documentary. I'd been, you know, a fan of Alex's early stuff. And that's, you know, just him.
So you knew who he was on 9/11?
Yeah.
You were on a radio show and you talked about 9/11, and you have, is it a theory, or you just don't believe the government account of what happened on 9/11?
I just had questions.
Yeah?
I had a lot of questions. And the forum I chose to voice those questions in is the Alex Jones radio show. Mm-hmm. And just because he's a guy that I've been a fan of and followed for a lot of years.
He's my friend. I would mean no disrespect. I love him. He's coming
sure.
here in a month. But I'd never heard of Alex Jones on 9/11. It's interesting that you have long felt like you want to look at other sources of information.
Of course. Yeah, I've always done my own research. Always. I've got to believe that the Pentagon is the most protected and documented, video protected, surveilled building in the history of the known universe, right?
Turns out not.
Well, I'm saying
we just have two videos from the parking lot.
Kiosk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Building 7, it's just, you can't. You can't watch that and say that is the result of a fire that burned for 5 hours on two floors. You can't sell that to me. And you know, that for years that was always met with, that is disrespecting the victims.
They are hurting the victims' families, the survivors, because they continue to raise this preposterous notion that the United States government would be so hideously manipulative that we would kill almost 3,000 of our own citizens as a pretext to going to war in Afghanistan.
How is that disrespecting the fallen heroes? How? If you're just looking for the truth behind what is clearly not how it was explained.
It was like, it was if they had detonated.
Yeah,
as if they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
So that's how I met Alex. I said, hi, Alex. I'm a fan for years. I said, we have to talk. 0 hour is upon us. And he called in 10 minutes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then flew out to see you.
Yeah. And then we thought, okay, let's build a secret weapon. Let's do something that like is unique. So we got together and we wrote this piece called 20 Minutes with the President.
20 Minutes with the President.
We drilled down into the 20 things that were really bulletproof. Really bulletproof. But Alex said they're just going to paint you as crazy.
Of course.
And I said, really? That's like, they can't get more creative than that? He says, no, they're just going to call you crazy. And smash cut to like a week later, and it was Bill O'Reilly, and it was Geraldo, and they just dismissed me in one sentence. Well, Charlie Sheen's obviously crazy.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone can find that clip, I'm sure.
Charlie Sheen continues to say the U.S. government knew about 9/11 before it happened. It's one of these things like Area 51 with the aliens in New Mexico. No matter how do you think it, they Sheen still believe. Do you think Sheen is crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think
he's crazy?
I think that he has a trick gene or a screw loose.
Personally, I wanted to create a public document specifically rooted in fact. If anybody dares question that, I would encourage those people to scrutinize it, to research it. The truth is unchanging, Alex, as we both know.
And I was always amazed to see that you always had hard data to back up your claims.
In the InfoWar.
In the InfoWar.
Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's the final lap. We're excited that you guys are all here today with us. I gave you the number. I told you to call in because if you had something on your mind, something you wanted to discuss, I said, give me a ring. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to work our way down the call list. If you haven't called in yet, though, make sure you do so. The phones are lighting up. We're going to try our very best to get to everyone. I always try, though. So we'll kick things off with Robert in Florida. Robert, I want to thank you for calling. You were our first caller of the day. Welcome to the program.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, Robert. Yes.
I want to go back to what happened to you with the weird person that followed you in. Your basic gut instincts told you something was not right with that man.
Mm-hmm.
This brings up the 1991 that I went to Federway High School in Washington State, Sarah Yarbrough. Same thing happened to her. Unfortunately, she lost her life. It took over 30-some years to find the guy and convict him. Last week at my town where we live, my wife and I were out having some cocktails with some friends, and some intoxicated man sexually harassed her right in front of me, and it disturbed my wife so bad that she didn't feel like she could even go back to the restaurant after talking to everybody there. But women need to be aware of their surroundings 24/7. And after Sarah was killed, they brought in defense classes for women, and I got to participate as the dummy. They put you in the full protective gear, and they always told me this, and it stuck with me, that women should yell fire and not help. Everyone runs from help. Everybody comes running for fire. And that always stuck with me, and I teach my wife that if anything ever happens to you, you know, but always be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah. Yeah, Robert, well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I'm so sorry to hear about your friend who was killed. I mean, it's a big issue here. I mean, like I said before, I started my career off of covering these types of cases all the time. And so I've seen these videos time and time again, and your heart just goes out to the women because so many of them freeze up in fear. But like you heard in the recording, the officer saying, the sergeant saying that he only fled because he thought he saw a pistol come out. I mean, like you said, that's what you have to do. You have to fight. To fight back. Then they stop doing what they're doing. And you know what the crazy part is too, Robert, is that individual who you see on your screen, he admitted to police everything that I thought when he was had bad intentions. I mean, he didn't say that he was going to do anything bad, but he did admit to trespassing. He did admit that he did cross a line. Members who of his church who actually know him, now he's Middle Eastern, he's Egyptian, but apparently he belongs to a Coptic church in Seattle. Members who are, I guess, familiar with him have been messaging me. And one of them actually tried to initially come after me and try to tell me that I was in the wrong for posting it and trying to ruin his life. But I pushed back and told that person, you know, you're going to end up arrested too if you keep messaging me, because I will not back down from anyone. And that person also then apologizing and say they saw the video now and the Coptic church wouldn't support his behavior. But this is what the world we're up against. You have to fight back. You have to push back. Police won't help you. You got to help yourself. You got to defend yourself. And I bet you he'll think twice before he goes after another woman, especially in the state of Texas, because Texan women, well, they're armed. So he better keep that in the back of his mind. Robert, I want to thank you for joining and thank you for sharing that story. I greatly appreciate it, of course.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lynn in Ohio, I hear you have a message regarding Charlie Kirk, so welcome to the program.
Yes, ma'am. I think AI would have problems taking your dictation.
What kind?
You're so fast. You speak so fast.
I know. It's a New Yorker thing. I'm sorry. We're trying to slow things down here. I'm fired up, though, on this Monday morning.
I know you are, and I'm warming up to you. So you're just becoming a favorite of mine.
Thank you so much.
When they were out in the street doing all those vigils, you know, they were all over the world, and I kept thinking, oh, if they just want freedom and Jesus and Christianity, we should help them as much as we can. Because, you know, that would have been Charlie Kirk's, you know, position on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he also supported the death penalty. Do you think he'd want that? Because I saw that his wife didn't want to say whether she'd support it or not. She just kind of wants the government to decide. But what's your thought behind that, Lynn?
I think that they are deserving of it if they get a fair trial. You know, but that's all in God's hands.
Yeah.
You know, he's in control. And but we've got a lot of things to fix. I heard you say that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not getting it done. The Congress, the courts, the lawyers, the judges, you know, they're just not getting it done. And ICE is trying their dead level best, you know, and they need support. And, you know, we've got to have our law.
Yeah. We have a lot to fix. I kind of feel bad for the Trump administration because they've got so much to dive into in such a limited time window to get it all fixed. But I mean, it's something that is a top priority. My heart just breaks all the time, though, for all these issues. My heart bleeds for his family, Kirk's family. But there's so many other people out there who are going through this still in this country. And so I hope justice comes. And I'm hopeful that we'll kind of get our way and sift our way through all these problems and come up with a solution soon. Lynn, I want to thank you for joining me. I'll think of you, Lynn, every time I have to think, slow down the speech, because my friends text me all the time. They're like, you're doing it again, Brianna. You're speaking too fast. So thank you, Lynn. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Bart in Georgia. Welcome back to the program, Bart. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for
I've had an epiphany about what's going on in Chicago, Illinois, with the governor and this incompetent so-called mayor. Checkmate. Trump has just set them up for obstruction of justice charges just to start. And I believe he knew what they were going to do. The violence is unfortunate, but Trump saw that coming and they stepped right into his bear trap. And, you know, they're done. And they're also going to be making an example out of Antifa and all these thugs by giving them long jail terms, high or no bail. And you have to make an example out of these people. We've got to quell this right away. Trump knows that. I know I don't have to tell him, but thank you for taking my call.
No, it's a pleasure to hear from you, Bart. I think I'm hopeful that that's what's going to happen. I do think that President Trump understands that he needs to do that. And speaking of Charlie Kirk, as Lynn was just kind of mentioning, you know, Charlie Kirk, one of his things was for President Trump, the last conversation they had was to go after groups like Antifa, and that needed to be a top priority. So I'm hopeful that he will do just that. Again, and you guys all know this, it's not like it's anything new for you guys, but when these individuals, the Antifa terrorists, get locked up, they're quickly released because all these left-wing organizations are just posting their bail and releasing them. And so, we need to go after those as well. I mean, RICO needs to be full swing ahead, go after all these groups, figure it out. The politicians you just heard Brandon Johnson, Chicago mayor, come out and say that he's going to create ICE-free zones. No, you're not going to do that. You don't tell the federal government what they can and can't do. And so, yeah, I hope we see that. And I have faith that the Trump administration understands all of that. So thank you for calling, Bart. I appreciate it. All right, I want to turn to Savage Dog in Georgia. Welcome back, my friend.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
If you don't mind, I have one topic, but it's kind of off topic and kind of long to explain. Let me stay on topic and stick with these governors and mayors.
Mm-hmm.
My brother from Georgia just called in, you know, is talking about obstruction charges. No, I'm going to go with Stephen Miller and say, you know, when he put out that tweet, said, you tell me what this word defines, like in a Jeopardy kind of way. It's treason.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Obstruction is one thing. This is treason. This is a sedition. This is insurrection. And like my very first call with you talking about the commies,
mm-hmm.
this is a communist invasion. And these people, through George Soros, need to be prosecuted for treason. And of course, that's going to cause the left to blow their minds. You know, we have a dictator. Let me ask you something about Trump being a dictator. If he's such a dictator, why is the Congress not doing one single thing to back up his executive orders?
Yeah.
He's not a dictator. Nobody's backing him up. Everybody's just poo-pooing away their congressional, you know, time until they got to go back home and whatever. But no, the word is not obstruction. It's treason. It's insurrection. I hope that they're being set up for this, and I hope that Trump cleans out the very top of the DOJ to put people in who will go after them. We need a Harvey Dent here, not a Pam Bondi and whatever the hell that
Todd
assistant. Yeah, Todd Blanche. Yeah, no, we don't need those weak ass commies. We need somebody gonna snatch a gun off you on the witness stand. You know what I mean? And say, no, I'm not done. I got work to do. but that's what I got to say about that. And I hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, I hope you had a great weekend too, my friend. You know, it's crazy because Congress continues to just not do anything, like how you just said. And President Trump, he's way north of 200 executive orders now. Congress up to like maybe like a dozen getting into law. The reason probably being they could run on the campaign promise. Well, if you want us to kind of push forward President Trump's agenda and laminate it for you, you got to vote for us. We've got to get the majority back. That's probably what they're going to do. It's what they, well, I mean, they have a limited success rate at this point. They've spent the last 2 years since gaining the majority doing absolutely nothing, voluntarily submitting that majority, just kind of narrowing it out and thinning it out with a razor blade margin now, but they never really cared. They never really cared. And so, you know, Speaker Mike Johnson, he's been a massive disappointment, But again, Leader Thun, nothing for me on that front, but Johnson, I had a lot of hope for him. I think it's a little disappointing though that he has not done what we needed him to do. So Savage Duck, I want to thank you for calling into the program today. We greatly appreciate it as always, my friend. So it's always good to hear from you. Let's turn things over to Jane in Washington. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome to the show.
Hi, well, I'm a former chemical dependency counselor, and I have a lot of opinions about everything that's going on right now. But I was working out of Olympia, Washington, in Tacoma, Washington, and I got a lot of clients from Yakima. The reason that's important is because the cartels were coming from Mexico up through California, up through Oregon, and into Washington State rather freely, I might add, and they would go to Yakima, and that was their operating base. And from that operating base, they were distributing drugs all throughout Washington State and then also into Idaho. So I was amazed at how freely they were able to operate, and I would ask myself, what is the state doing about it? The state was doing absolutely nothing. Neither was Oregon, and neither was California. This was complicit.
Yeah.
In their the governments, all three governments here were complicit in their ability to stop this process. It is their fault. But if you really want to get down to what the core issue is here, you're talking about Congress not doing anything. You're talking about the governors, the Democratic governors who are trying to stop the process of draining the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
All of it revolves around a concept called parens patria. And what that is the government's responsibility to protect the vulnerable and the incapacitated. They don't do that. It's endangerment to self and others. So everything in between, either if you're not killing somebody, you're trying to kill yourself, everything in between gets ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you story after story after story, and I know I don't have time to do that, but I could tell you some horrific stories that I personally dealt with in courtrooms trying to get people put into a place where they could heal and get restored and normalized, and the court would block it because they didn't meet that criteria. That right there is why we have a huge problem in this country with homelessness, drug addiction, everything, because every single judge, Congress, local governments, all of them are complicit in the parens patriae duty. They are not doing what they need to do to protect the country, to protect the vulnerable, to protect the incapacitated. And do I have time for one story?
Yeah, Jane. Yeah, and I was also going to say, I'm driving through Austin. I keep pointing this out. I know Alex even posted a video, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, of a young woman who was on the streets, and she needed assistance. She needed help, and it's just heartbreaking to see. So, yeah, we'd love to hear a story.
So I was an assistant manager downtown Seattle of a high-rise apartment complex right down there by Pike Place Market, and a gal came looking for a place to live. She had gotten evicted from another place because she stopped taking her medications. So we worked with her, and we got her a place to live, but her she wasn't supposed to get off her medications, correct? Mm-hmm. So she got off her medications within a week, and what does that mean? It means she was riding up and down the elevator naked. She was getting onto our payphone in the lobby, and she, I don't know why she thought this person she was talking to was Frank Sinatra, but she did think he was Frank Sinatra, and she would yell at them, and then they would hang up on her, and then she would try to fight my security guards. Mm. So I tried to get her put in for 72 hours, and I went before the judge, and the judge says she doesn't meet the criteria of being an endangerment to self or others. Mm-hmm. I said, what do you mean? I said, she's riding up and down the elevator naked in a dangerous part of town with criminals everywhere, and she's riding up and down this elevator. And she that wasn't good enough for her. She would not put her in for 72 hours to get her stabilized on her medications. So I had no choice. I had to evict her.
Yeah.
And I saw her a week later, and she was looking pretty rough. I said, so how are you doing? And she said that she just came from the hospital, that she had gotten pulled into a van of four men who repeatedly raped her. And then she, she ended up in the hospital overnight trying to recover from this episode. I could tell thousands of stories of all kinds of incapacitated people. Right now I'm dealing with, I'm the landlord again, and I'm dealing with the fentanyl epidemic.
Yeah.
I've had several tenants overdose on fentanyl, and they take the Narcan over and over and over again. There was one guy who did had to be Narcan'd eight times to get brought back to life.
That's incredible.
So this is what we're talking about here when we're talking about incapacitated people, and our government, and particularly the judiciary, is complicit in actually addressing these issues. When they're clearly an endangerment to themselves and to others, they're still not doing anything about it.
That's so heartbreaking.
Handing somebody some Narcan isn't doing your job.
No, it's not.
So that's where we're having a problem. And the ACLU,
yeah.
In the case of Connor versus Donaldson, created this endangerment to self and others doctrine. Well, the entire government from one end to the other supports not addressing the incapacitated that fall in the kind of the gray areas. So now we have a huge problem. They can't do anything about it because the problem's gotten too big. They don't know what to do. When you're dealing with, you know, a couple hundred thousand people who are all incapacitated, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And they don't have solutions. I have a few solutions, but they're expensive solutions. They're big solutions, but they have to be done. You have to, for every action, there needs to be an equal and opposite reaction. That equal and opposite reaction means you're going to have to deal with it in a big way because now you have a big problem. That's where we're having issues right now in Washington State, where they will build a couple of, you know, little mini homes and then break their arm off, patting themselves on the back because they're doing something to solve the problem. No, they're not, because it doesn't even begin to scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Now we have Chicago.
Yeah.
The same way.
It's heartbreaking. Jane, it's heartbreaking when you sit here and you see what's going on all around the country, especially in Seattle, and you see how this is all taking place. I want to thank you first off for calling, but most importantly, I want to thank you for your service, because there's very few people willing to help out these people, and they need help more than anything right now. And we don't leave our fellow Americans behind. Substance abuse is a real issue in this country, and sadly, very few are willing to take it on this front and many other fronts. But, I mean, you're there. You know, that story that you just shared with us about the woman who was sexually assaulted is absolutely heartbreaking. It's avoidable, though, if we give people the resources to help themselves out, and we actually try to help them. They're Americans. There's no reason why we can't do that. There's absolutely no reason why we can't do that. Jane, thank you for calling. I want to go to Icarus in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I kind of have a Halloween-themed call, but it's in reality. There was this guy called Boris Wolfman, or Wolfman, who was just busted on October 3rd by Turkey and then extradited to Russia for organ harvesting and organ trafficking for quite a while. And he was part of like a Israeli Zionist mafia who was doing like organ transplants on the black market in Pristina, Serbia, in Syria, in Costa Rica, in Ukraine. And he'd go to like troubled spots and snatch up people and harvest their organs. Usually they do that when they're the person's alive, so the organs stay fresh. He was had a company, imagine this, was called In the Name of Heaven. And he also had a food company, which is kind of creepy, which makes me believe that, you know, a lot of the organ harvesters take the excess meat and sell it to the cannibals, you know, because they get big money for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would lure people who are low on cash and desperate and say, hey, sell me a kidney for 15 grand, take their kidney and then not pay them. And he was just recently busted. I know that's one of the things you've been looking into.
Yeah.
And one of the things Alex Jones talked about, you know, he was right again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy. He was captured and released many times, and he was still able to do his organ harvesting. And he sold to American clients as well. And he charged like $200,000 for a kidney, over $500,000 for hearts and livers. You know, so it's a very lucrative business, I think, even beyond the drug business, just because the margins, I can only imagine how big the margins are. He had a lavish love style with a bombshell wife and was just going around chopping up people and slinging their organs to other people.
It's so heartbreaking.
Did you see this guy, Boris Volkman? Did you see him?
I saw the story, but I think I saw a video without the story, so I didn't know what his name was. I think that was circulating on X, and I was looking for the name, and it didn't pop up, so I'm glad you actually called and mentioned it, because, I mean, like you said, I follow this one, the woman who's also recently arrested as well, who was going after babies. I mean, this is a very common thing, and there's nothing more depressing. So one of the stories that I was working on, and we had to go on the dark web for a bit, my friend John was helping me kind of look at stuff, and it's so depressing what they do on the dark web. I mean, what they're selling, obviously it's organs, but, and other things, everything. You literally buy everything you want. It's so, so depressing. We need to hold people accountable, not just the ones who are doing the trafficking itself, but the, individuals who are purchasing these organs. Cause obviously there is a market here and you have to go after both sides. I mean, that's how you squash all of this. And my heart does go to people who need these organs, obviously, but you can't do this. You can't do this because, I mean, you remember we had those two people, those human trafficking experts on the program who are trying their very best to stop these things from happening. And, you know, they're talking about how they're meeting with the cartels in prison who are kind of walking them through how they did what they did. And they're just grabbing kids and they're testing to see if they'd be a match for someone in need. And then if they are, sadly, they take them to a veterinarian clinic and harvest their organs and dispose of their bodies in acid. I mean, these are real things that are happening right now all across the world. And so, like you said, time and time again, they're released, but these people need to be executed. I mean, we cannot live amongst people who are doing this and have no conscience at all to even care for the innocent lives that are being taken. All lives are important, and we should be prioritizing that. So thank you for bringing us that update. Because again, that's a subject matter that everyone shies away from because it's not very glamorous. So thank you. I want to thank everyone else too for calling in today. We'll do this again, obviously, tomorrow as well. I appreciate when you guys give us a ring, and we try our very best to make it down the list of all callers. So, well, we look forward to talking to you later this week, of course, but that does it for me today. I want to remind everyone, you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. It's climbing up the charts. I think we just saw that it snatched the first, like the very first slot of the app stores. So head on over there right now. Download the app. We greatly appreciate it when you do. We're taking out everyone. We are the new source for America. So head on over there and download the app right now. I'll see you here tomorrow, of course. Alex next.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the ultimate methylene blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by methylene blue. Ultra methylene blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.